another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
The truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I'm sure you've asked yourself these questions before. What are the secrets to creating wealth? What are the four obstacles to building wealth? How do I build my financial house? How do I reduce my current year taxes? How do I best protect my assets? Get the answers to these questions and more on Strategies for Building Wealth every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on WGNU, where we teach you how to work your money smarter, not harder.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk
about. 1 million
people
have now visited the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield. 1 million people have been introduced to the life and times of Lincoln by way of the latest technology. 1 million people have experienced the Civil War in 4 minutes. And 1 million people have enjoyed Ghosts of the Library in the museum's Holovision Theater. You need to be next. Visit the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum in Springfield. And don't miss the Mary Todd Lincoln First Lady of Controversy show coming in April. For more information, visit ALPLM.org.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
When you go home, here's what I want you to do. We must belong to some organization that is working for and in the interest of the uplift and the liberation of our people. Go back. Join the NAACP if you want to. People's Revolutionary Party. Join us. Join the Nation of Islam. Join Bush. Join the Congress of Racial Equality. Join SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. But we must become a totally organized people. And the only way we can do that is to become a part of some organization that is working for the uplift of our people. We must keep the local organizing committees that made this event possible. We must keep them together. Go back and join the local organizing committee. And then all of us as leaders must stay together and make the National African American Leadership Summit inclusive of all of us. Now, many of the people that's in this house right here are put there by the margin of the black vote. So, in the next election, we want to see who in here do we want to stay? And who in here do we want to go? And we want to show them that never again will they ever disrespect the black community. We must make them afraid to do evil to us and think they can get away with it. We must be prepared to help them if they're with us, or to punish them if they're against us. And when they're against us, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Good. Googly moogly. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Good googly moogly. Good googly 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 moogly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, do we have stuff to talk about. 454-0400. I have a copy of the little play that the man who did the massacres at Virginia Tech, I read his play. I'm going to share some of that with you this morning. I also want to talk about FBI searching a Republican lawmaker's home. I want to talk about that, too. The first and foremost, the thing that's on my mind right now, the thing that is in my heart and in my spirit right now, is I want to talk about the city of St. Louis. The city of St. Louis, ladies and gentlemen. Right there under the arch. If you got something that the cops want, they're going to take it. And they're not going to get in trouble for it. And they're not going to be charged for it. And they're not going to go to jail for it. If you got some, you better watch your wallets. You better watch your stuff. You better look over your shoulder. And when you see one coming towards you, goodness gracious, it is fair. Because the president of the police board, the head of the police board, says it is fair that cops can take your stuff, steal your stuff, and not get in trouble for it. Here's what I'd like to do here on the wake-up call this morning. Because I don't believe that cops that take your stuff, that steal your stuff, started with World Series tickets. We have some names out there. Here's what I'd like for you all to do. To start searching your mental Rolodexes. I want to hear from you all. Here are some of the cops. Here are the 8 disciplined officers. Understand that they ain't the only ones that were involved. Philip Menendez, Sergeant Philip Menendez. Oh, he was recently promoted. Sergeant Philip Menendez. Anybody had any doings with these are all narcotics cops. Philip Edmonds. Michael Ennis, E-H-N-E-S, Thomas Kitchell, Thomas Krantz, Stephen Schwerb, and Joseph Smoggy. Come on now. I bet you by golly wow that these cops who stole these tickets, they stole before this. You don't start with World Series tickets. I'd like to hear from you all. I'd like to hear from y'all. You want to know why we need a civilian review board? Because from the mayor's office to the head of the police board to the prosecuting attorney's office, none of them will go after cops who commit crimes. They've already shown, they've already demonstrated, they've already proven that they are not going to do it. They've been given an opportunity to say, now Jennifer Joyce will tell you, she'll wring her hand like Pollyanna, helpless. I'm just a little old woman trying to run a big man's organization and I can't do anything. Because the law says that a big old mean Supreme Court decision said that I can't use the evidence of these cops' confessions. I can't use it in court. And golly, Miss Golly, I'm just a helpless little woman here. And I can't figure out any other way to do this. That's why they shouldn't let girls run this stuff, because we just too scary. Let me get this straight. The dang prosecutor. You have brought more cases against people with no evidence, trying to make a point. You want to make a point, you want to take a stance. What do you mean you ain't got no evidence? If you don't have a confession, you don't have a case. Huh? We know the tickets were taken. We know the tickets were used. Let the cop get up there in front of a jury and take the fifth in front of the jury. Let him do that. You need to charge somebody to send a message to the community that we don't support anybody that steals. You know they confessed. You know that they took this stuff. Your job is to show the city of St. Louis that we don't allow crime. Instead, what you've shown the city of St. Louis is that, we only go after black people for crime. We only go after poor people for crime. We only go after powerless people for crime. We only go against people that ain't our friends for crime. That's what you've shown the city of St. Louis. That if you ain't in the clique, if you ain't in the thick, if you ain't one of them, oh, it's on. They're going to go after you. They're going to boot your car, run your plates, tow your car. They're going to grab your son and shake him down, take their stuff, and then charge your son. They're going to walk past your neighborhood and hear no evil, see no evil, do no work. That's what they're going to do to your community. And they're going to walk up into other communities and protect them. You want to know why the city of St. Louis is the number one crime city in the country? Because we got to add cops up into the mix of those committing the crimes. You don't think we need a civilian review board? Then you ain't paying attention. Cops commit crimes in the city of St. Louis, and it ain't no never mind. Because the scared little girl that's up there in the circuit attorney's office says, I can't think of anything to do to them. It's just too hard. It's just too hard to come up with some charges against them. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I don't know nothing about prosecuting no cases. Huh. Huh. You're on a wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Brother Al.
You know I'm going to try hard not to repeat anything you said, because I want to stay on track right along with you. To protect and to serve, they need to take that off of that car.
That's a fact.
It need to be dropped from their motto.
It should be put, we take your stuff.
The four main heads in this city.
That's right.
Have let the citizens down.
That's right.
Starting with the mayor, the prosecuting attorney,
yep.
Chief Mocha,
yep.
And the police board.
There you go.
I agree with you. They just didn't start with those tickets.
That's fact.
You know, Liz, they gave us the 8. They still haven't told us how many people were in a terrorist group, how many tickets they passed out. I'm referring to them as terrorists. It wasn't very much difference. They could have pulled off a mass attack just by confiscating those tickets. Now, I don't understand how they think we feel out here. As you said, you lock up everybody else for little of nothing. I guess people better start looking over their shoulder. I haven't gotten my paper this morning. Did they put their picture in there, Liz?
I didn't see the picture this morning. I haven't seen the paper this morning, but I tell you what, I'll have it before I get off.
You know, I need to know what's coming up behind me or in front of me.
That's right.
I need to be able to recognize these terrorists.
You need to know whether you need to lock your doors or grab your wallet.
You know what, Liz? It's pitiful that our leaders are not crawling and crying and saying, not in my city. But you know what, Liz, the hit thing? They say they don't want to farm because they got 500 drug cases pending. You want a dishonest cop up there? lying on you.
Wait a minute. Do you think that a cop with these tickets is going to be able to get any case prosecuted in front of a jury?
Yes.
Do you think that they're not credible at all? They steal.
They
steal. And they confess to stealing.
They should throw every case they got with their name on it out of the court.
Wait a minute. If Jennifer Joyce says, I can't prosecute a case because I don't have a confession, then how are you going to prosecute a case when you have a thief as your star witness?
Well, how we know that's all they are? Thieves.
Well, thanks for your call. I'm taking a break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Highway N and Highway O, still an accident reported down in Jefferson County. Hall Street at Adelaide, traffic lights are not working. Treated as a four-way stop. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street in the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is building, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry. In the Graham Hanley, look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for traffic is on the move but starting to stack up. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry, look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, heavy volume there as well. That has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies in the morning, partly cloudy by the afternoon, high in the lower 60s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 50. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high around the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees and scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stick around for more of the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. More riveting radio with the award-winning wake-up call and your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the wake-up call with my friend Liz Brown.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof!
Informative,
educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word that he said. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays, whatever happens, don't let go of my hand.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. Car phone.
Good morning, Miss Wonderful, Beautiful Liz Brown.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm just a little outraged. Liz, you know, I got two things to say. One thing, last week I was on my walk, which I take every morning, and I was about 2 miles out, and I was walking. And that stabbed me about how, you were telling me about how they were hanging the blacks, how they cut the toes off and the fingers and stick corkscrews in there, and they were just standing there and watch. And that killed me so much, and I said, man, I thank God that that's going on. And I could just picture the people standing there, the women with their babies with their sheets on. And here's what I make out of it. Jennifer Joyce is just coming to work with a dress on instead of her sheet. And that's the truth, because, look, let me tell you something. I bet you a salad right now that she is laughing at Eddie Simmons galore. Because she done this to pierce him because she couldn't wait to say, you know what, Eddie wants him prosecuted. I bet you the main thing she wanted to do was spite him because she knows that the man knows a lot and she knows he's against all this. And she's just another Klanswoman. See, she just can't come to work in her white sheet. They prosecute blacks only, not whites. That's why if you look at the cases, Liz.
But here's the thing. Okay. There, she received hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails.
Okay.
All of them telling her she need to fire those cops.
Right. Okay.
Most of them telling her she need to fire those cops.
Right. Right.
Okay. Okay. So I just want you to understand that people in this city, white folks and black folks, were telling her, you need to fire those cops.
Okay.
And
okay.
What this is about, it is about race. I mean, race makes it easy, okay? But it's also about, we have to understand the circle the wagon power folks in this town. And the fact that the lawless power folks in this town. This is about protecting a bunch of people, because I assure you that these cops didn't take these World Series tickets and give them to just their friends. There are some people in elected positions, and or people in appointed positions in this city that took those tickets from those cops and sat in those seats. There's a big cover up going on with this. Huge cover up.
Right. Okay. Well, Liz, that's what I'm saying. If I'm a police officer and I'm having hard times, and I transfer a tag from one car to another car to my car, and the chief of police finds out about it, and he finds out he's hitting his hand on his desk, and no, I would not tolerate no stealing in this city. No, he's fired. No, Eddie, he cannot have his job back. I don't want him no more. Get out of my office. Now, let's see what's wrong with this picture now. Jennifer Joyce got all of those emails. So now let's picture this. She's at her desk. She's sitting. She's there. All these people are saying fire. Let's see. What should I do? I don't care what they think. They're white. I'm not doing it.
No, I don't think it was just that. This is a cover up. This is a cover up. It wasn't just that. In her mind somewhere, she's saying it's easier to protect them than others. Of course, that's going to be the instinct of this. But also understand, she's elected too. She's receiving hundreds of emails, hundreds of phone calls saying, fire these people. She's elected too. These aren't just coming from black folks. coming from white folks, too. There is something else in this story. There is a cover-up in this story. They are protecting more than these thieving cops. There's
right.
something
there
else going on.
Some of the high-uppers, family members, got some of, like, Mokwa, some of his people got some of the tickets.
I'm telling you.
And if they find out about that,
that's what I'm talking about.
Open.
That's what I'm talking about.
Have
it is, it
weekend.
Is more than that. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. And this is why this steady, understand, y'all. This goes back to state control of the school district. Baby Boy Blunt appointed a white guy from West County who has no school experience, can't even spell school, in charge of the largest school district in the state. Okay, we see that kind of appointment. The same Baby Boy Blunt appointed Chris Goodson to the police board. Police Board President Goodson said, the board's decision is in the best interest of the community. It's in the best interest of the organization, parentheses, police department, real parentheses, the White Police Officers Association, and the officers in that order. Why do the officers matter factor into this at all? They're thieves. They don't factor their feelings, their future, their issues don't factor into this at all. They're cops that are thieves. How do they factor into the decision making? How do cops that are thieves factor into and take are taken into consideration their feelings, their future, their funding, their salary, their anything? How is that ever taken into consideration when they're a cop that's a thief? Tell me. Tell me. Charles Quincy Truth.
I'm listening to you, Liz. You know, and it's clear in my mind after I talked to Jennifer and Goodson, the president of the police board. I talked to both of them, and Goodson, and I was telling him about what Jennifer Joyce didn't do. And he more than assured me that the police board, was going to hear this thing, and the outcome was going to be different.
Well, should we be surprised that the police commission lied like the cops stole?
I didn't understand what you
do. Should we be surprised that the police commission lied if the police are stealing?
Oh yeah, well I mean they are stealing. Now I mean he
said it was going to be a different result. It's the exact same result. That's a lie. He lied to you.
Well, you know what I told him. I don't think that the police board is going to do anything but what the chief tells it to do, and the chief is going to do only what the Police Officers Association tell them to do. Now, how can the Police Officers Association, and yes, on the front page of yesterday's paper, threaten the Board of Police Commissioners? They threatened them. They told us, well, you can slap them on the hand if you want to, but if you fire them, we're going to kick you. We're going to beat your tail. And I told Goodson, I want to see exactly what you all do. Because this is, you know, we've had these young brothers out there and everybody else saying the police took my jewelry, they took my money, they took my stuff, my drugs, they took all of my stuff. And then nobody believed them. Nobody would even entertain it. The thought was never in a black paper or white newspaper. And the black people knew it was happening. Black people have known it was happening, like I told Goodson. When you stood up in that meeting over there in the 27th
But wait a minute,
floor,
Quincy, it's not just black people that knew the cops were stealing.
I know, they're taking
that stuff. They knew, white folks knew it too.
But I'm talking about the people that I represent.
I understand.
And what they're doing to my people. Yeah, the white people were sent in more emails and was more livid than the blacks.
I don't know about that. But
yes,
I know
they
that,
did.
I don't know that they're more livid.
I
don't know that they're more livid.
Let me tell you this.
I had some white aldermen was talking to me about it. I ain't had no black aldermen talk to me about it yet. So I know they live it. I mean, there's a whole lot of people living. But they told me that the outcome of the board was going to be better.
Hold on, Quince. Got to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. We got a lot to talk about. Don't worry. I'm getting to all y'all. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
You must be your fairy godmother. Yes.
It doesn't take a fairy godmother to tell you that the right fit means everything.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in that.
Children under 4'9" need to be in a booster seat because they aren't ready for adult safety belts alone. Remember that 4'9" is the magic number. And get your little pumpkin there safely in a booster seat.
Oh, thank you.
For more information, visit boosterseat.gov. This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm going to tell you now that my name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. True.
Yeah, Liz. This is really, really a wake-up call.
The president of the police board said it is in the best interest of the community, the organization, and the officers in that order. This is a stern discipline and should be considered a strong discipline. Huh.
But see, you know, if you take and you said, well, this is grand larceny. If those tickets was worth $500 a piece, then you could be talking like $10,000 worth of tickets, if I'm understanding the little bit of evidence that I got when I was talking to the prosecutor and the president of the board.
How do you sit up and say that police officers who go out and do something like this, we're not going to take their rank?
Nope.
We're not going to fire them?
Nope.
All we're going to do is demote them.
For a year.
For a year. Now, so what that tells me is that you had some high-ranking or some command officers involved in this thing. And the command officers, they get, you know, you can't if you prosecute one of them, then the whole corrupt domino theory is going to come in. So that means a whole lot of people are going to fall. But the other equation, Liz, where's the federal prosecutor in this case?
True fact.
You know?
True fact.
You know, now Moqua was saying, we're going to get tough on crime, right? And then they start shooting and killing these kids. But at the same time, this is a clear case where he can demonstrate that nobody can commit crime. And if the police are corrupt, and if the police are doing the stealing, and if the police are coercing the board and telling them, if you do this to us, we're going to do this to you, and the prosecutors say, well, I can't prosecute the police because they admitted to the chief that they were stealing, and that was a violation of their rights in the Supreme Court.
Well, no. What the Supreme Court case says is that you cannot use that statement made in that disciplinary action as a confession. It doesn't say that they didn't confess. She knows they confessed. Everybody knows they confessed to it. They know that they did it. And her statement in the paper is, they didn't do this? Wait a minute. That they did nothing illegal? Sure they did.
But she said she recommended to the board that they be fired.
Well, it doesn't say that anywhere in the paper, Quincy.
Well,
I'm
telling you what she told me.
And I don't care what she told you because.
But what I'm saying is they coerce poor people and black people every day.
Hmm.
And I'd say, well, what about that? She'd say, but the Supreme Court decision was narrow and it doesn't apply to your children. It doesn't apply to your family members. It only applies to police because police occupies a different position in the food chain than the regular citizen. So what she's saying is the police can go out and kill everybody and do all the crime they want. But if the chief tell them, if you don't come clean, I'm gonna fire you, then that gives them a loophole under the law, where she can't prosecute them, but the board can fire them. See, now as an employee, the board could have fired them, and they didn't. And that's the issue. The police board has to be a part of the conspiracy because Jennifer George didn't hire them. She can't fire them. She can prosecute them, but she can't fire them. But the board, Goodson, and the members of the board, and Hunter, and all of, you know, these black people on the board, or this black man on the board, they can fire him. And if they don't, how are you going to sit up and tell these black kids that crime don't pay? How can you sit up and tell them that
crime
you
pays.
Can't do all of these things and not go to jail? And the police openly, overtly does it, and the board, the prosecutor, and the police commission, and the federal prosecutor sit there and then does absolutely nothing.
No, they do worse than nothing, Quincy. They do worse than nothing. They say Jennifer Joyce, the chief law or the chief prosecutor in the city of St. Louis, says they did nothing illegal. The police chief says they should not lose their rank. They should not lose their job. The mayor says that they should not lose their rank. They should not lose their job. And justice has been served. And the chief or the president of the police board says, we talked about it, and it's in the best interest of this community that cops who steal do not lose their job. That's worse than nothing, because that message that's out there to the community is that if you're a cop and you steal, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, you know, Liz, you know, and this comes back to local control of the police. And they were saying that we didn't want local control of the police because the politicians, the local politicians, would be directing the police and telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody needs
somebody needs to direct them. How about getting a copy of those, Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal? Let's start with that.
You know, I never saw a picture of one of these cops. I never saw the names of one of these cops.
We got eight of the names. We have eight of the names. Sergeant Philip Menendez, Officer Philip Edmond, Michael Ennis, Thomas Kitchell, Thomas Krantz, Stephen Schwerb, and Joseph Smoggy.
So they put their names in the paper?
They put their names in the paper. We haven't seen their pictures. We haven't seen a perp walk.
How do you know when one of these rogue cops is knocking on your window?
And I'm asking people to call in. We need to put out flyers in all of our communities. We need to put out flyers with pictures of their pictures and their names on it and have everybody go down to the police department and start filing complaints against these cops. Because we already know they steal. Now all we need is more evidence from the community that these cops are out there doing that.
Well, you know, if they did it to these people, they've been doing it to other people as well.
Yes, they have.
So if you don't put their pictures out there, the people that have fallen victim to these same cops.
Oh, we're going to get their pictures.
They won't even know that who did it to them.
Thank you.
This is critical that at least they put their pictures in if they really wanted to press the issue.
That's right. And Troop, I got to go. Thank you.
I understand.
Thank you. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Andrew.
Power is the people, Liz. They've been stealing from the people for a long time. Just that... Just caught up with them, and they don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
Mm. So I think it all starts at the top and all winds at the bottom when the workers out there working.
Mm. Mm. They're covering something up. They're covering something up. They are covering something up. Aside from giving cops a free pass to steal with it, they can steal. They don't even lose their rank.
I think they ought to be fired.
Of course they ought to be fired. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. Brother Bob.
Yes. Attorney Brown, I am just so proud as a 64-year-old political human rights activist. I was able to represent the International Urban Institute as one of the ambassadors down at the press conference yesterday in front of the police station with our good sister Jamala Rogers and also John Sasnoff, you know, with the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression. An excellent press conference. Then to go upstairs with their supporters and the people in the community. And I just feel that it is so important that we stay together and support each other in terms of what is happening in the community, and I think this is where their strength is coming from. And the International Urban Institute, I think, is on the forefront in assisting and supporting because so many people have supported us, and we are a new organization, but a lot of us have been around for a long time. And, you know, this is continuing with the International Urban Institute, a purpose of promoting political awareness and civil actions in our community. And I think this is something that we are doing with people like Troop right there, Attorney Irene J. Smith, what you have been able to do. I mean, and we're putting it together. And I talked with Jamal yesterday. We have a slew, small victories with the election of the swearing-in of Lewis Reed as the President of the Board of Aldermen, McCaskill. We have the interns. We go back to the Proposition A, B, C, and D. And we are building on a little victories, and it's making a big difference. Also, I think with the pictures of the police officer, we should also have a picture of Jeremy Robinson there because you remember now when Chief Volker stated recently that he has told his officers to take off the gloves in reaction to crime.
And I guess they did. They took off their gloves and took some cardinal tickets.
You got that right. Yes, ma'am. Look, your sister, and thank you so kindly. I certainly appreciate everything.
Take care of yourself.
Don't forget our International Institute meeting every Saturday morning, this Saturday from 9 to 11 at 5 Building at 1020 North Taylor.
1020 North Taylor, 9 a.m. Be
yes,
there.
Ma'am.
All right, Brother
Bob. Looking forward to Hour in the Loop. Thank
All
you.
Right. Listen, yes. folks, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about the emancipation of Washington, D.C., why it needs to happen. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking, of course, to Jamala Rogers and Justice for Reggie. We're going to have a wonderful guest attorney on that's going to be talking about the death penalty and lynching and all of that. And then, of course, Eye on the Loo. We're going to continue this conversation about what's happening with the police board and the cops and all of that and so much more. When Irene J. Smith joins me here, I'm Liz Brown. Oh, they call it riveting radio, and there's a reason why. Stay with us. We're going to continue this conversation.
Splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The gunman in the Virginia Tech massacre left a chilling calling card explaining his final act. Soon he chose sent a hate-filled message to NBC News. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
They are the words of a murderer, a seeming confession.
When the time came, I did it. I had to.
It is unclear when Sung Hee Cho took this video and accompanying photographs, but he mailed them to NBC in between shooting sprees after he had already shot two people. He then went back to campus and killed 30 more people and himself. It shows another chilling degree of planning. NBC received the package late because the postal worker here in Blacksburg used the wrong zip code. Aaron Katursky, ABC News at Virginia Tech.
Cho also refers to the high school gunmen in the Columbine shootings as martyrs. Today is the 8th anniversary of that massacre. The Virginia Tech shootings have colleges and universities around the world looking at ways they'd get the word out to students in the event of an emergency besides email. Options include cell phone text messages, loudspeakers on campus, and warning sirens. Attorney General Gonzalez heads to Capitol Hill today. He will answer the Senate Judiciary Committee's questions about the firing of 8 federal prosecutors. Arizona Republican John Kyle says while there were problems with the firings, they can't all be blamed on the Attorney General.
The whole thing may have been handled in a clumsy way. It wasn't done for a nefarious purpose.
Democrats have put Gonzalez on notice, though they want direct answers to the questions. More violence in Iraq. More than 200 people are dead after a series of suicide bombings in the last day in mostly Shiite areas of Baghdad.
This district was the scene of a car bomb on Wednesday that killed 10 people, and not far from the site of that huge market bomb yesterday that killed 140. The bombers seem bent on a campaign of open defiance of the U.S.-led security crackdown in the capital.
ABC's Hillary Brown in Baghdad. This is ABC News.
Another how-to half minute from the Home Depot.
So, notice anything different?
You cut your hair?
No.
Lost weight?
Watch it.
Okay, I give.
I painted the room.
Oh, what color was it?
Forget it.
Want to make a real difference with paint? The Home Depot knows how. We have all the latest colors and the technology to help you coordinate. Plus, now through April 25th, get 25% off all Behr Premium Plus paints, stains, and waterproofers. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
Never miss your favorite shows with a free DVR upgrade from Dish Network. Introducing Dish DVR Advantage. The two-room DVR comes standard. Plus, get over 200 channels, free standard professional installation, and 3 free months of HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, or Starz Movie Pack. All for just $39.99 a month for 10 months. Call 1-888-499-DISH today. Offer ends 5/31/07. Subject to change without notice. Requires $49.99 activation fee. 18-month commitment and credit card auto pay with online billing. 10-month discount requires mail-in redemption. Restrictions apply, including early cancellation fee.
Sayonara Sanjaya, the singer with the hair, you know the one, got the boot from American Idol last night. Here's ABC's Brad Wheeler.
The contestant, known for his wild hairdos and charisma, gets the boot.
Sanjaya, you are going home tonight.
Sanjaya Malakar, the most polarizing American Idol contestant ever, is history. While a few of his fellow contestants cried, a tearful Sanjaya performed his swan song.
Give him something to talk about.
and one of his harshest critics.
Utterly horrendous.
Judge Simon Cowell smiled from ear to ear, and maybe for the first time, America was smiling with him. Brad Wheelis, ABC News.
More of us are thinking global warming is beginning to affect our climate. A USA Today poll found 60% of people say so. That's up from 48% a decade ago. A few more are predicting extreme changes in the weather over the next 50 years. That said, most of us are suspicious of any government activity to protect the environment, like a surcharge on our electricity bills. ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a St. Louis-based broadcasting company is banning programming and music lyrics that it considers offensive. The black-owned Roberts Broadcasting made the decision less than a week after the firing of radio host Don Imus for an offensive comment on the air. Effective immediately, songs with offensive lyrics will be banned. The company will also look more closely at syndicated shows that it airs on its TV stations. A Metro East mother is suing a power company after her son was shocked and fell from an electrical tower. Annette Thibeau of Edwardsville accused St. Louis-based Ameren and its Illinois units of negligence and failing to properly warn people about the tower's dangers. Thibeau's son, Justin Porter, was 13 when he climbed the tower on a $5 bet and came in contact with a power line. The boy survived, but the lawsuit says he sustained severe burns, broken bones, and internal injuries. Ameren had no comment on the situation. Finally this hour, Cardinals third baseman Scott Rolen sat out yesterday's game with food poisoning. Rolen reportedly started feeling sick on Tuesday evening, and manager Tony La Russa says he doesn't know when Rolen will be back in the lineup. Scott Spezio, who was out with food poisoning last week, filled in at third base. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, wake up. Good morning, 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from Illinois 159 through 157. There's an accident reported at 157 and traffic is building. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park to 270. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 from Lindbergh through McKnight. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street. Bridge is on move. Westbound 270 from New Halls Ferry through West Florissant, look for delays. Eastbound 70 from Highway K through 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270, look between Gravois and Doherty Ferry, looking for a new lane shift at Doherty Ferry, so expect some slowdowns as the routes have changed. Eastbound 40 between Maryville Center and Mason Road, heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44, look for heavy volume there. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is stacked at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for heavy delays there. And westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for heavy volume there as well. That has been a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy in the morning, partly cloudy by the afternoon, high in the lower 60s this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70, and Saturday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees and scattered clouds. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's up next on Riveting Radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. I am here. My name is Liz Brown, and I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? We find ourselves in a, I don't know, a sadly familiar place in the city of St. Louis that we have lawless cops. We have lawless cops and then those who defend them. What is your take on, what is your take on the decision by the unanimous decision by the police board? All the police board members voted to allow the cops who stole the tickets to be disciplined and not lose their rank, keep their jobs, and keep on.
First of all, it's disgusting. And it certainly impacts the public trust, erodes the public trust in them further. And as we were talking off the air, it's my understanding that the reason why they did it is because the order to take the tickets in the first place came from out of the chief's office. And that there are higher-ups in the police department who use these tickets. And so for the entire board to unanimously say that it's okay to steal tickets, what you're saying is if you're a police officer who takes an oath to uphold the law, if you are caught stealing tickets, particularly World Series tickets, then you're simply facing a suspension is good enough.
And I went to the St. Louis cop talk to see what they were saying about this. And guess what they were saying?
They probably were saying they shouldn't have been disciplined at all.
There's not a single word on that site at all about this.
Isn't that interesting? That's unusual.
Okay, there is not a single word on that site about this. Isn't that something?
That's surprising.
Yes, it is.
That's very surprising.
Yes,
but even what's even more surprising is for the chief prosecutor of the city of St. Louis to say what they did was wrong, but it was not illegal. They didn't pay for those tickets. They used them. They received the value of them. They took them without the permission of the owner.
And they took them out of the evidence chain.
Right. So they stole the tickets, used them, and as I was saying, I was told by a police officer as late as just last night that the order to take the tickets came from out of the chief's office, not from the chief, but from out of the chief's office.
And the other interesting piece of this is how we have everybody first saying, oh, no, this is wrong, this is unacceptable, and then, you know, what fits in that theory is that at first everybody said they're going to lose their job. Then all of a sudden people started sitting down and talking about this, saying, well, a whole lot of heads going to roll if they lose their job. This looks clearly to me like it's a cover-up, like they have, that there are a lot of people that have a lot more name in this that are going to be found guilty of committing some crimes. So they decided to, okay, we're going to close ranks. We're going to circle the wagons, and nobody's going to have to risk. Now somebody has to do a little bit of something. And a little bit of something. We got to do a little bit of something, but we're not going to have a statement from Jennifer Joyce saying they need to be fired. We're not going to have any pursuit by Jennifer Joyce to try and do a perp walk with them and send a message. Whether you win this case or not, she at least needs to tell the public that I tried to prosecute these guys because I don't believe in this.
That's right.
And we don't see any of that.
We don't see any of that. And like I said, as an officer told me, who happens to be a sergeant in the police department, one of the guys said, if we're fired, then we tell them the whole story. Because we acted on orders to take these tickets. And so if that is true, which based on the conduct of the way they're acting about this, and as you said, a cover-up, I submit to you that I believe, and I don't have any factual basis other than a police officer who happens to be a sergeant in the police department telling me that the order came from out of the chief's office to get these tickets, then I believe this is in fact a cover-up. And for Jennifer Joyce to say that it was wrong but it's not a crime.
It was not illegal.
So if it's marijuana or some cocaine in the evidence.
It's okay.
It's okay for them to take it.
We're going to take a break. Stay with us.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is I Am the Lou, because it's 7 o'clock on Thursday. I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, it's a cover-up. I don't think that there is any other way to analyze this, because if you had, and Goodson, the police board president, he had talked to people all day long, and he said, oh, no, these folks going to get fired. These folks going to get fired. There is going to be a greater discipline than what is being proposed by MOQA. And then he goes into the meeting, and they have a 1.5-hour discussion in there, and he comes out a changed man, too. Mm-hmm. What he see? His nephew getting some of the tickets? I mean, who did he see getting the tickets? He was told a bunch of stuff about the cover-up, I suspect.
To me, to say that this is good for the community, the organization, which is the police department, and the officers in that order. This is good for the community. It's good for the community to have police officers who have such disregard for the law, and they, and of course, I guess if they are ordered to do it, since it's a paramilitary organization, if they were ordered to do it from someone out of the chief's office.
Well, let's talk about it from the perspective of they weren't ordered to do it. Let's say that it happened the way that these guys are saying that it happened, that these cops on their own took these tickets, stole these tickets, and used them. How is that good for the community?
How is that good for the community, particularly where the police department does not have a good reputation in the community at all?
But wait a minute.
And we are perceived to be the number one dangerous city in the country. And then we add to that, and by the way, they let police officers get away with stealing in the city of St. Louis.
And I just want to let people know that don't know that here's the kind of police department that we have. Tuesday was the inauguration for President Louis Reed. All around City Hall, we had cops going up, running people's plates, booting cars, and then towing them. Booting cars and towing them on the day that we had Congress people flying in to City Hall to see this and to be part of this. We had elected officials from all over the city and their family members, because it wasn't just the inauguration for President Reed. It was also the induction and swearing in of newly elected members. We had grandmas, great grandmas, grandpas, daddies, mamas, nieces, cousins, all of these people. It was an event for the city of St. Louis. And all around the city hall, we had cops not looking at meters, but running plates, booting cars, and towing them off. Now, the police had time to do that. They had time to do that. But there will be no discipline for cops that steal tickets. There'll be discipline for you for not paying your tickets, not taking care of your tickets. And it will be swift, fast, and in a hurry. But if those that steal tickets, you don't pay your tickets, you're going to jail, or they taking your car, but you steal tickets, oh, thumbs up, keep your jobs.
And to say that, okay, they're going to face a demotion for a year, some down to the rank of probationary officer.
Whatever.
It amounts to you got away with stealing.
Yeah, you did.
Because anyone else in city government that work for the city of St. Louis, if you are caught stealing, you are going to be fired. If you steal off the job and you're convicted of stealing, you are going to be fired. But if you work for the city of St. Louis and you're a police officer who happened to, perhaps, like I said, I don't have any factual knowledge of this. I was simply told that the order to take those tickets came out of the chief's office. You're okay, because it's a cover-up.
It is a cover-up, Irene, but it's a deep, deep, deep thing that is going on here in the city of St. Louis. If we just think about it, they're saying that lawlessness is acceptable. Lawlessness is protected by the highest levels of government, but lawlessness only for a certain class of people that we get to. The mayor gets to, what is that, acting with another. Jennifer Joyce gets to act with another. The police board gets to act with another in the cover-up of this crime, because Jennifer Joyce is saying, even though I have a confession, I may not be able to use that confession in court. That stuff happens all the time. Trials go on all the time without confessions or confessions that have been thrown out. She has said, because she's created new law. You know this, Irene. She said, because I have a confession that I cannot use, I cannot go any further with this case. Have you ever heard such nonsense?
It is absolutely ridiculous. One thing is clear. It is not disputed. The tickets were taken, the tickets were used, the value of those tickets was used.
They were stolen.
They didn't pay for it.
There you go.
They didn't pay for it. It's stealing any day of the week.
And Jennifer Joyce is throwing up her hands saying, I don't know nothing about prosecuting no cases. I don't know nothing. I don't have a confession. I can't go forward. You have the tickets. You have the witnesses. You have people that saw that can testify to who took the tickets from them. You probably have some fingerprints if you wanted to go and get the tickets. And you have the system at the Cardinals where the tickets were taken, that the tickets were used. They were scanned. We know they were used. How'd they get out? Somebody, you can find somebody to prosecute for this stealing. They have tapes. I mean, there are tapes all around. There are cameras all around the arena. You can't look at those cameras and find this? You can't see this?
Well, obviously, if they did this slap on, with a mouse to a slap on the wrist, obviously they know that the stealing occurred. That seemingly, that's not disputed. Nobody's disputing that. They're not disputing the act. So, in basic criminal law, elements of the crime, we went through them last week. We pulled the statute, went through the elements. They stole these tickets, and the police board, of which the mayor is a member of, and who supported the disciplinary action that amounted to a slap on the wrist, says it's okay in the city of St. Louis for police officers to steal.
Done and done. Craig.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
And Irene, how you doing?
Good morning, dear. How are you?
I'm doing good. First of all, I wanted to say this is my favorite hour of the Liz Brown Show.
All right, now.
There's so many different ways. This is bad in so many different ways. It's hard to choose where to jump off at this. But I did want to say that, Liz, I went to my cousin's funeral a couple summers ago. He was 90 years old.
Oh, bless his heart.
Off of Euclid and Delmar. There's a church that sits to the south of Delmar. It's
mm-hmm.
a street. But anyway, it's on a cul-de-sac, and we were all parked out there. You know, after the funeral, we came out, and the police had ran license plates and gave tickets out. You know, you know they could see the hearse sitting out there. And, I mean, it's on a public street, so there weren't any meters, and people were parked correctly. So the only way they could ticket us is by running plates.
Cold-hearted. And that's some cold-hearted stuff.
That's what one of the people told me. They said, isn't that something? They know you're already going to be feeling bad coming out this funeral. I guess they say, well, wait till they get this ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no compassion at all for the people of St. Louis. But the thing that I really wanted to say, ladies, was I wanted to ask the question, what police organization in St. Louis is the most powerful police organization? You know, I'll just tell you what I think. I think it's the St. Louis, the White Police Officers Association, because I recall a time when they had the last say on who was going to be a member of the police board. There was a black man nominated to be a member of the police board. The White Police Officers Association came so strongly against his appointment to that board that later he was not appointed. I mean, they had their say and their footprint on that appointment.
All right, Craig. Thank you so mm-hmm. much. And the other piece of it is that they're all criminals, because if the Police Officers Association knows that somebody else is responsible mm-hmm. for these tickets, then they have a responsibility to tell it. Instead, they're just circling the wagons around their members and saying yeah. the most important thing is we're going to protect our members. No, you took an oath to serve and protect. The most important thing is for you to be lawful. And if people have committed crime, you are bound and paid to tell who committed the crime.
Well, it's my understanding that one of the officers says he's not taking any type of disciplinary action.
But if because he knows about a crime.
He followed an order. So once
then
his,
tell it. Then tell
once
it.
Once his retirement gets to going.
Well, tell it now.
Tell it now.
Tell it now.
Tell it now.
We're going to take a break. Stay
and there
us.
Should be a public outcry, outrage about this.
Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the PSB. Look for slow traffic in the left lanes. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry. Look for a new lane shift at Doherty Ferry, so expect some slowdowns. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason Road. Look for delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for heavy volume going on there. 270 westbound between Illinois 159 and 157. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound 55 between 3200 South Broadway and 44. Look for heavy volume there. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp is heavy at the top of the bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Cleeds Landing. Look for delays there as well. And eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. You've got some slowdowns as well. Well, that has been a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy by the afternoon, high in the lower 60s. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70. Pretty much the same for Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 47 as well with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. More Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Previously on this Lone Ranger program,
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Right.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Rasta Resolution, removing the pollution and bringing you the musical solution with Rasilos right here, WGNU Radio.
King Silos, a culture nationalist, Rasta Resolutions airs every Saturday from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. That's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night on WGNU Rasta Resolutions.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This is Eye on the Loo. I am here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about stealing.
Stealing tickets.
Stealing.
It's interesting to me. I always look at what's going on totally. Here we have the police board saying it's okay to steal tickets. We have the chief prosecutor for the city of St. Louis saying it was wrong, but it wasn't illegal. You know,
you could take
stuff out of the evidence that doesn't belong to you, use it, and that's not illegal. And then at the same time, we have the Board of Aldermen considering banning protest signs from the gallery in the chambers of the Board of Aldermen. But they're not saying anything about this. I mean, I hope to hear something from the Committee on Public Safety as to a resolution condemning these actions by the police department. And I am hopeful that they will not, you know, make it illegal to have a protest sign in the gallery at the Board of Aldermen. Talking about decorum.
Yeah, 1-877-920-WGNU.
You could steal.
Yeah, John, good morning.
Good morning. I'll tell you why. I don't think that this is a cover-up. I know it's a cover-up, and I'll tell you why. You mentioned Cop Talk earlier, and there's nothing on Cop Talk about this. Well, there was a huge amount of females on Cop Talk about this. It was a huge controversy because the decent officers in the department were saying, these guys ought to get fired. And they started commenting, you know, is this a record number of comments on any given issue? They had such a list, such a thread on Cop Talk.
Maybe I went to the wrong place, John.
No, Liz, you didn't. Because what happened was, all of a sudden, the administrator says, I think we've had enough of this discussion. And he took it all off the board.
He took it all off the board.
He took it all off immediately. And this was like 2 weeks ago, and he didn't open it up again since. They just shut down that discussion. That's one cover-up. You know that there was pressure because information was leaking out in all those comments from the police about higher-ups and, you know, hints about who might be involved and that kind of thing. And it was just shut down.
So Cop Talk, the place where they tee off on people all the time, they call people names, they attack people, they call people criminals, they talk about lawless citizens, they talk about how they want to move out of this city because it's so crime-ridden. Cop Talk said, oh, we aren't going to let cops talk about cops. Cop Talk said that, right?
Not when you're talking about police officers stealing.
Cop talk can't talk about stealing.
Yeah, they couldn't control the discussion within the department there, you know, and so they shut it down. And the second thing is, now there are 7 higher-ups who are implicated in all this, and we don't know their names yet.
Right.
You know, they've received lesser discipline for lax supervision, whatever that means.
A lieutenant and 3 sergeants and 7 other officers.
And so the Coalition Against Police Crime said, well, we're going to find out who those officers are and what they're implicated in doing. And so we requested, under the Sunshine Law, the documentation for the police investigation. We wanted to see the investigation and see who are these higher-ups, who used the tickets, whatever was in that investigation. And we have a legal right to that. There was a Missouri Supreme Court decision, Dyer versus Kirkwood, that says that if the investigation is based on an allegation of a crime, then it's public information.
Well, now.
And we put in that request, and the department has said no. So that's a cover-up in my book. Now, we're not taking no as the last word, but that's where it stands right now.
They said no.
Well,
no.
John, if somebody gave an order higher up to go get those tickets. I mean, when I count what you got, 8 and 7, that's 15. Was it 30 tickets, 50 tickets? How many tickets?
30 tickets.
30 tickets. So was it two? Did they get 2 apiece? Or did somebody else higher up get a ticket? Or did his little cousin that was home?
I don't think anybody's little cousin got World Series tickets. I think heads of departments and people whose names we all recognize got some tickets. Tell me.
And one last thing, if you want a good laugh from the mayor, he was asked yesterday, well, doesn't this, you know, point out that we need a civilian review board? And well, you know, the media was asking him. So then the mayor goes, well, I support a civilian review board, and this police board has voted for a civilian review board. What he didn't say is they voted for it a year ago, April 12th, full year ago, and they have not done one single thing to implement it. And, you know, if they did, it was ineffectual and it was worthless on its face. But that was just for show. They didn't even want to bother to implement their worthless proposal.
John,
and he puts it on the Board of Aldermen. He says, well, the Board of Aldermen are holding this up, which is completely untrue. He's refused to give names for nominees for that police board, and the mayor is holding it up.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, take care.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call. I am the Lou.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question has to do, I haven't heard, and I'm sure it was already discussed, but how was this criminal behavior on the part of the police office officers originally discovered or exposed?
Well, we had the scalpers that said that scalpers, that so-called scalpers, there should be a crime, but they saw people in their seats.
Oh, I see.
They saw that the tickets that were taken from them, they saw people in their seats.
Okay, so then they, in turn, went to the police station or reported it? Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Okay, and they followed through on their report.
And the news media got a hold of it, too.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they saw people in their seats.
Mm.
And see, nowadays, you know, we're used to the old tickets where you give a ticket and then they tear it and give you the stub back. Well, they have tickets now. They scanned the tickets, so they figured, hey, you know, we can go use these tickets and then put them.
None will be the wiser.
And nobody would know and put it back.
1-877-920-WGNU, Sam.
Good morning, Liz and Irene.
Good morning.
Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Jennifer Joyce the same person that gave Jim Murphy a pass when he was stealing the money and having secret accounts down there?
That's not fair to recall history like that. That ain't fair.
That's
behind us.
I try to learn from you and be on top of my game.
Past is behind us.
So I think she has a fondness for felons. What do you think?
Well, it depends upon what type of felon.
You're right about that, too.
Thank you.
All right.
1-877-920. And that caller certainly is right.
She's absolutely right. But then I want to get back to the question of, you know, the chairman of the police board says this is good for the community. And tell me in what way for the community.
He said it is in the best interest of the community.
Oh, it's in the best interest of the community that they not know who all the thieves are and that thieves not be prosecuted.
Well,
but if you have not more than 4 unpaid parking tickets on your vehicle, your vehicle gets towed.
But wait a minute, Irene. Let's dissect these words now. It is in the best interest of the community, and I guess he's
what community?
No. I think he's telling the truth because from his perspective, it would not be good for the community to know that Chief Moqua's wife got a ticket. It would not be in the best interest of the community to know that the heads of the Department of the Police were sitting up in those seats. It would not be in the best interest of the community for them to know all the people at the top that got a hold of these tickets. So maybe he ain't telling a lie. Maybe that is from his perspective. Y'all don't need to know this because it's going to tear this city apart when it finds out how corrupt, what is it, what's the phrase, how deep the rabbit hole goes.
But you know what? My grandmother used to say, well, you go too far and stay too long. And this is one of those instances. It's coming, y'all. It's coming when the cover is going to be totally pulled off the corruption that exists in St. Louis police officers, because the good officers, and unlike some people, I believe that there are some very fine officers in the police department. They highly resent this, and I have ran into several of them. That said, you know, folks already out here think that police do this and they do that. Many of them do, you know, taking dope, putting dope on people, taking their money. But now here you have a very visible situation, World Series tickets. I go to the World Series. I take tickets that don't belong to me. It's not stealing.
Let me get to Bob from Pittsburgh here. Bob.
Yes. Good morning. I agree that we must prosecute everybody equal, and this is a disgrace. But I wanted to just make one statement. as we learn more each day about this killing and this boy that did the killing in Virginia, it comes clear that he was a troubled Asian minority that had been trampled on, even though he probably was mental ill. But for those who trample on other people's rights and just refuse to accept them as being equals, the only thing that I want them to know and what they know is the same thing the parrot said to the ugly man, and that is that you know what's going on. Quit trying to ignore it. And thank you, Liz.
1-877-920-WGNU. Harold.
Hey, how y'all doing, Liz?
Outstanding.
You know, my question
Hold
is
on,
this.
Harold. We're going to take a break. Listen, this is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're talking about, I guess, the most corrupt city in America. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us. Place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears. 3425 Union. Black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands: Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics: TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Phil.
And I'm Tim, and we're your hosts from The Real Deal with Phil and Tim.
Tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for real news.
Or Phil's version of the news on the radio.
That's right. You can listen to my opinion or you can listen to his, but we all know we'll be listening to my opinion. You can also tune in for interviews with senators and other interesting people, like me.
So make sure you tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 for The Real Deal with Phil and Tim.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. And don't forget that in the 9 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be talking about the emancipation of, or actually, the democracy for D.C. We need to emancipate D.C.'s budget from the control of Congress, and we're going to talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour. Then, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, I'll be talking to Jamala Rogers with Justice for Reggie. And we're going to be talking to Attorney Ogletree about the whole issue of
of the death penalty. You don't want to miss that. And right now you're listening to Eye on the Loo. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about cops who steal. I think that it's a huge story, Irene, that cop talk in St. Louis that has been notorious for running their mouth on about everything and about everyone and about every issue. And it's interesting it's a strange place to be that on the same side of the issue with the cops that were taken off of cop talk. The cops that now I guess maybe they know how some of us feel about trying to stand up for what is right. When cops tried to talk about the wrongness of these cops of getting away with stealing these tickets and how the whole department suffers from it, cops that wanted to say that to other cops were silenced. Their voices were taken off of cop talk, and the issue is not going to be discussed. How's that feel? How's that feel?
As we were on the break, I was thinking about the other night. I was going up to a church behind Family Dollar on Kings Highway, and I saw these two officers. I guess they were hiding out behind Family Dollar, and I guess they saw our lights kind of was shining on them, you know, and then they looked up. And they split, and this guy said, "Oh yeah, that's a regular hiding spot for the 7th District officers. They're not doing any work. They just sit there. They just sit there and talk."
1-877-920-WGNU Herald.
Yes, how y'all doing?
Outstanding.
My question is this: Jennifer Joyce, does she still have the powers to prosecute the one they took the tickets from?
Yeah, she has the power to prosecute all of them.
She does.
All of them.
Well, how can she do that? I mean, would it be double standards?
Have double standards in what respect?
As far as they didn't prosecute the policeman, so how can you prosecute the...
Oh, you mean that you're talking about the scalpers.
Scalpers, yeah.
Oh, isn't that something? You know what? That's a great question, Harold. That's a great question.
Another thing I could say this. It's a beautiful day here in St. Louis because, you know, everything come out of blackness. Even the sun.
All right.
Mm-hmm. When it shines, it shows everything.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU.
Can you imagine this case being tried, prosecuting the scalpers?
I know. I want to be there. I'm going to bring some popcorn.
Isn't it true, Mr. Edmonds, that you stole those tickets, that you used them, or did someone in the chief office order you to steal them?
Good morning. You're on Eye on the Loo.
Good morning, Liz. Good morning, Irene J. Smith.
Good morning.
My question is simply this. I'm looking at this situation, and this is part of the reason why I myself try to stay out of St. Louis as much as possible. And don't they realize the economic effect that this will have on people who are thinking about opening up businesses, starting businesses in St. Louis, or bringing business to St. Louis conventions and such? When you have a police department that is under scrutiny, then people will think twice about bringing their money and their events to your city.
They'll start calling us the shakedown city.
Exactly. And what will end up happening is when people stop coming to your city, then you start losing revenue. Then now what's going to happen? So it would have behooved the mayor and everyone else involved to bring all of this stuff to the light, discipline those who need to be disciplined, and move on and turn St. Louis Police Department into a beacon that people can be proud of. They really handle this thing very, very wrong.
Shakedown
City. I hope that they relook at their events and turn around and do the right thing.
Shakedown City. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Mary.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Miss Mary.
Listen, I would like to know, am I correct in assuming that there has not been any pictures or TV or names of the police that did this crime? And I also like to know, for number two part of it, will the police in the past that has lesser crimes and committed similar things, will they be able to get their jobs back?
Thanks for your call and question. We know the name of the 8 cops that are going to be demoted. They don't lose their jobs. They're just going to be demoted for a minute, and then they get their rank and everything back. Sergeant Philip Menendez, Officers Philip Edmond, Michael Ennis, Thomas Kitchell, Wendell Ishman, Thomas Krantz, Stephen Schwerb, and Joseph Smogie. Those are the cops that were quote-unquote, disciplined. And then we have seven other officers, including a lieutenant and three sergeants. That means that four of the remainders were officers and the other ones were cops. They will face lesser disciplinary action for failure to supervise or internal procedural violations. They had to be able to go into the locker room where the evidence was kept and get this stuff out. They didn't. I mean, certainly there were cameras on them then. Somebody had to cover that up.
Well, I came down here. I was ordered to come down here and get these tickets.
Mm. You're on I Am the Lou.
Yes, I'd like to talk about something that you discussed last Thursday on I on the Louvre, that there were two crimes committed. The first crime was the stealing of the World Series tickets by the cops. And then the second crime was the people who received the stolen merchandise. I know your listening audience can remember how many times citizens have said they didn't know that they were receiving stolen merchandise, and they were convicted and sent to jail anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, and these people who receive this stolen merchandise, they're getting away with the crime.
And thank you so much for reminding us of that, because that is another place where Jennifer Joyce, if she knew a little bit about prosecuting crimes, she would be able to go after. Okay, I can't get the cops, but I certainly can't get the people that they know they didn't pay for those tickets. She certainly could go, because we can, again, that's not hard to find out. There are cameras all over the ballpark. There are people that sat in those seats. We know who some of these people are. She certainly could prosecute the people that received the tickets.
And like former Judge Irene J. Smith said, that should be a public outcry.
Absolutely. Well, not on Cop Talk, because they sure going to take out the public outcry on Cop Talk.
Slay's telephone number is 622-3201.
622-3201. This is, it's the Shakedown City. It is the Shakedown City. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Margaret.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jennifer Joyce should be able to go. You remember that prosecutor, a man, was caught impersonating as a female? You remember
you're talking about.
I thought he was patronizing prostitution. George Peach?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't impersonating no female.
No, he took somebody else's name.
Yeah, but right. Anyway, Jennifer Joyce should go.
All right, you're absolutely right.
And all the police that did the crime, the one that committed the crime, they should pay the time.
Oh, tell it. They need to tell it. They need to say, you know what, I did this because I was ordered to do that. And then there isn't a crime. This is a institution that you have to follow orders. They told you to go do this. You need to tell. You need to tell. Mike.
Yeah, how you doing? You know what, Liz, I think it's one thing that nobody, I don't know if anybody thought about it, but they may have sold those tickets to these people, and that may be another criminal, something to think about. The tickets may have been actually purchased and not given away.
Yeah, you got that right.
Thanks for your
the
call.
The stolen tickets may have been used. The stolen tickets may have
Earl?
Been sold.
Yes, yes. Real quick, Mrs. Future cases, can a defensive lawyer say, hey, have you tampered with evidence before?
Oh, yeah.
A good one
will.
And even one that ain't so good won't miss this one. Oh, absolutely. You're the one that stole the tickets.
And
also,
these were vice officers.
Hey, thank you very much for this conversation.
All right, now.
Peace.
All right.
Ain't no peace in the city.
Because
the upstanding officers are upset about this.
And their words are being silenced on Cop Talk.
Don't talk about no stealing cops.
Listen, folks, this is I on the Lou, Irene J. Smith, same time, same place next week.
Yeah, buddy, we're going
to
see how this goes.
All right, thank you so much, and coming up next, of course, is Justice for Reggie. Stay with us.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help.
help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
That matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger.
I think them seeing that people have support for them and we have their backs, that it's going to help, you know, ease the pain and get them through the hard time.
It's really scary, and we, you know, all we can do is remember what happened, not forget it.
Two students at Ball State University in Indiana at one of the many vigils last night nationwide for the victims of the Virginia Tech University massacre. Their grief is even more pronounced with the release of a shocking manifesto from the gunman sent to NBC News. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
They're the disturbing last words of a killer.
Do you know what it feels like to be humiliated and be impaled upon on a cross? And that's to bleed to death for your amusement.
A simmering Sung Hee Cho mailed this video along with photos and a rambling letter to NBC after he had shot and killed two people. He returned from the post office and killed 30 more. But long before Cho prepared this manifesto, campus police knew he was troubled. A judge ordered him to seek mental help after two female students complained he stalked them. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Blacksburg, Virginia.
With his job on the line, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez heads to Capitol Hill to answer questions the Senate Judiciary Committee has about the firings of eight federal prosecutors.
What is remarkable is how few Republican senators, they are normally loyal to the administration, have anything to say in the Attorney General's defense. And a handful of GOP members of Congress have said that it would be better for the Attorney General to resign.
Two new studies link hormone replacement therapy to breast and ovarian cancers, but doctors still say for some women, HRT is the best way to deal with the symptoms of menopause, especially with some of the new lower dose formulations. Simon Cowell's nightmare is over. Sanjaya Malakar was shown the door last night on American Idol, but the judge had to listen to the 17-year-old with the reedy voice and the ever-changing hairstyle sing one last song. This is ABC News.
A nationally known research laboratory is conducting a placebo-controlled study to determine if occasional friendly bumps to the forehead, accompanied by this sound, will remind you that you could have had a V8 100% vegetable juice. Subjects should be men,
ow,
sorry, or women,
hey,
so sorry, between the ages of 40 and 65, who often fail to consume adequate vegetables and are predisposed to forgetting that V8 is a delicious way to get vegetable nutrition every day. All bopping to be conducted in a clinical setting by board-certified boppers.
I spy with my little eyes something red.
Is it the ketchup on the car cushion?
Nope.
Is it the dripping juice?
Nope.
Is it the drawing on the window I made with Mom's lipstick?
Yep.
Life happens in a blink. Now cleanup does too. Introducing the Blink family of car cleaning products that's always within easy reach. Clip to the door, on the back of a seat, wherever you need them for life's little messes. Blink, and it's done.
Can we talk? Apparently a cable TV channel's heard enough of Joan Rivers and her daughter Melissa. They've shown the duo the door. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
Joan Rivers is known for mocking the stars.
You hope that Bjork makes a guest appearance? Maybe she'll come this as a duck this time.
Joan Rivers and daughter Melissa, who went to TV Guide Channel from E! Entertainment as red carpet hosts, are being replaced on TV Guide by Lisa Rinna. Rinna will debut on September 16th at the Emmy Awards. Joan Rivers says she will talk about her true feelings as soon as she signs a new deal somewhere. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
Officials in Woodmont, Connecticut think they have the answer to rowdy teens who gather in the seaside town's parks late at night. They want to unleash a high-tech bug to tell them to buzz off. Most of us of a certain age can't hear this high-pitched noise, but it drives teenagers crazy. By the way, the company that makes it, it's called Kids Be Gone. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, Overland will elect its new mayor in August. The city has set August 7th as the election date. Councilman Jerry May is serving as interim mayor after the recall of Ann Persner earlier this month. May says he does not plan to run. Persner was removed because of her failed attempt to replace the police chief and for holding meetings in a room too small to accommodate the crowds. Councilman Mike Schneider and incoming council member Mary Beth Conlon have said they will seek the office. Belleville police are looking for a man who approached children at a school bus stop. The man reportedly asked the kids if they had seen his dog. Police say the incident is not being considered an abduction attempt, but it is suspicious. The suspect is described as a white male who may have light brown hair. Police are looking for the man's car, which was reportedly a 1990s model brown or maroon Oldsmobile. Finally this hour, voting has begun for the 2007 All-Star Game. As manager of the defending National League champions, Cards manager Tony La Russa will lead the NL squad. The Redbirds are no strangers to the Midsummer Classic, as Albert Pujols, Scott Rowland, David Eckstein, Jim Edmonds, and Chris Carpenter have all appeared in the game. Candidates for first-time election include outfielder Chris Duncan and catcher Yadier Molina. Voting ends on June 28th. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Southbound 270 between 64 and Clayton Overpass. Look for a vehicle on fire near Clayton Road. Tractor trailer with an overheated brakes off to the right shoulder, but traffic's building around there. Westbound 270 from Lilac through West Florissant. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. That's at 367. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and 170. Look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 44 from Bowles through 270. Heavy volume there as well. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from east of K through 79. Got slow traffic there. Northbound 270 from Tucson Ferry through 44. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 141 through Mason. Got heavy volume there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume there as well. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is stacked at the top of the hour and has heavy volume from the Illinois Bank into the landing on the King Bridge. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to mostly cloudy skies this morning, becoming partly cloudy throughout the day, high in the lower 60s. For the rest of today, partly cloudy with a low in mid 40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70. And pretty much the same for Saturday, partly cloudy, high in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 46 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 48 degrees in partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. Justice for Reggie with Jamal Rogers and Liz Brown is on the way. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters.
It is time for us to use our power.
give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I see I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this end?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, welcome. It is 8 o'clock, a little after 8 o'clock on Thursday. It's time for Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
We're gonna see if we can connect with our guest in the next break. But before we get to that, I think that this issue that we were talking about in the last hour transitions and segues into the Justice for Reggie Hour, because there was an issue of confessions in the Reginald Clemens case.
It's an issue of confessions, but also the point that I'm not hearing from Jennifer Joyce's office is that she's claiming that she can't use the, quote, confessions by those officers. But it's interesting then when there's other cases, and we have numerous examples, that when you think that there's something that has gone down that's illegal, you have probable cause to then bring those people in and get your own admission of guilt. So why could she not have got those officers to come in as part of her independent investigation and get them to say what had happened?
Well, their lawyers wouldn't let her talk to – I mean, their defendants, their lawyers not going to let her have a conversation with them. However, the other piece of it to me, Jamala, is that – one messed up, inadmissible confession doesn't stop a case from going forward. You can make a case without a confession. We've had case after case. Okay, so this is going to be a circumstantial case. Okay, well, you try circumstantial cases and get convictions of
every day.
Every hour of every day.
Every day.
Okay, so okay, you have an inadmissible confession. So you can't move forward with this?
Right. And we know that there have been cases with much, much, much less. And in the cases of Reggie Clemens fits in that category. No DNA, no hard evidence, no eyewitness. But yet, Nels Moss proceeded on with those cases and got convictions in all four of them. So, you know, I think it's really a travesty for folks to try to explain this to an informed in public and think that makes sense to them, because it does not. And that's why I think this story continues to have legs, because none of the pieces are fitting this. None of them are fitting.
And talk about the article that was written in the New York Times. Talk about that.
Well, in the New York Times, there was a reporter, and I don't recall her name, but she was talking about the way that St. Louis is trying to,
position itself
and to come into the 21st century, and she
as a Renaissance city,
as a Renaissance city with all the building and stuff like that. But she also pointed out some of the interesting pieces that have played. One of them is a rogue police officer, and they mentioned specifically the tickets, but they also talked about the crime stats, and so there were.
They also talked about the education too, didn't they?
The education system.
Taking away the accreditation.
Right.
And this is in the New York Times. So this speaks to the whole issue of how the people at the top of the food chain are allowing this city to be defined, because one, Francis Slay is making the decision not to charge these guys with any crimes and not to pursue this and to slap them on the wrist. Francis Slay is making the decision to take away the accreditation and have a state takeover and decertify the largest school districts in the city of St. Louis.
And when you look at all of those factors, Liz, you can't help but think about why the city is the way that it is. And I'm talking about the racial divisions, because as long as you have that kind of disempowering policy attitude, people are going to continue to fight. So there's always going to be this pushback from the African-American community trying to get its place at the table. And to me, that's the piece that Francis Slay doesn't seem to understand or doesn't care. And he's going to continue to make those policies until we let him know that it's unacceptable.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and please don't forget that we are archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. If you've missed an hour, go get an hour. We are also broadcast on the World Wide Web, and check that out at lizbrown.com. That's LizzBrown.com. And I'm here, of course, with Jamala Rogers. And Jamala, we have a guest with us this morning.
We sure do. Charles Ogletree, and I don't know whether to call him professor, doctor, or attorney, but he was here in St. Louis a couple of days ago, and he's written a book called From Lynch Mobs to the Killing State, Race and the Death Penalty in America. And we wanted him to come on and talk a little bit about where that book, the premise for that book came from, and kind of what were some of the, interesting highlights from the book. Dr. Ogletree, welcome to Justice for Reggie.
Professor, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you this morning, and very pleased that we're focusing on one of the most tragic aspects of American society, that is the state taking the lives of citizens, and I'm happy that this station and you are focused on trying to end that evil and awful practice.
Connect it up for us, Professor, lynching the death penalty.
Right, and your listeners can go to our website, it's www.charleshamiltonhouston.org, to find out more about our efforts to engage in a national debate to eliminate and abolish the death penalty completely. Here's what you'll see in the book. The book was designed to let people focus on the horrors of capital punishment and to show that there's a direct connection between what we saw in the 19th and 20th century pattern and practice, largely by whites and largely against black males, of lynching people without a trial, without a hearing, without a consideration of evidence, and to show that it was not simply the Klan who we always want to blame for these issues, but these were God-fearing, scripture-reading, Bible-toting folks throughout the country.
Well, they
would go to church on a Sunday morning and then go out and lynch African-American men and women on Sunday afternoon with their children there as if it were a picnic, not as if it were some solemn and important judicial proceeding.
Well, we're talking about the so-called pillars of society.
That's exactly right. And these are people who were public officials, who were mayors and law enforcement. So these weren't just people who were estranged from the system. They were deeply involved in it. And it's also important to know it wasn't just Oklahoma and Texas, but it was across the country. These lynchings occurred as far as California and as far east as places like Connecticut, New Jersey. So it wasn't simply a southern problem. It was a national problem. And that's what we're doing now. The connection goes forward. The same thing happens now when people of color are denied even the ability to serve on juries in capital cases. They are excluded through the practices of prosecutors, not because they show any bias, but simply because of the color of their skin. And Thomas Miller L. Had his death sentence in Texas reversed by a conservative Supreme Court 2 years ago because the prosecutor used completely unconstitutional and illegal means to keep blacks off the jury.
And so
that's the idea, that the lynching continues even in modern-day criminal justice proceedings.
And Professor, do you think it's good to point out at this point that because prosecutors routinely strike people off the jury solely based on the color of their skin, there had to be a rule of law created to deal with that, the Batson rule.
That's exactly right. And beyond that, the idea of getting a fair trial is completely overwhelmed by the idea to make sure the prosecution's power is at its utmost. And what's the example of that? If you take a look at the fact that prosecutors now can strike black people, and it's largely black people who express any misgivings about capital punishment. And why would they do that?
Right.
Because they know about lynchings. They know about an unfair system. They know about police duplicity and lies, like Mark Furman in the Simpson case. I mean, they know that in Illinois in 2000, the governor looked at 25 cases where people went to trial. They had lawyers. They were prosecutors. They had juries. They were tried. They were convicted. They were sentenced to death. They had appeals confirmed. And when they went back and looked at those 25 cases, 13 out of 25 were people who were completely innocent. It wasn't even the right person, even though they had a full process. That means the system is broken, and that's why I am against the idea of the death penalty and will fight it with every ounce of my breath and strength, because it just isn't a system that in any way is fair or just in the 21st century.
And doesn't it also require us, Professor, to continue down the line and look at the system that gets us to the death penalty? Because none of those innocent people on death row were put there without the vigorous actions and the vigorous attentions of police officers and prosecutors and a prosecuting department that put them there, that knew that the evidence was weak, that knew that they were beating confessions out of people, and knew that this was wrong.
That's exactly right. If you just look at a report that many of us signed and embraced, calling for the removal of certain law enforcement officers in Chicago, you see a history of police abuse, of coerced confessions, of torture. This is not in 1950. This is modern conduct by law enforcement officers who are sworn to uphold the law and who don't. If you look at California and Los Angeles at the Rampart District, you saw the same kind of abuse by police and what impact it had on the lives of largely poor and urban individuals. And so it is a national pattern and practice that has to be dealt with. And it only gets worse. If you look at what's happened in Abu Ghraib, and if you look at what's happened with those in Guantanamo, we're using, a serious incident of terrorism that we all were chilled by in September 2001. But that's used to justify a complete ignoring of habeas corpus, ignoring of the right to lawyer, the right to speak, the right to be tried, given charges. And so we are in a moment of terror in our criminal justice system, and we have to stand up and fight against it as strongly as we can by every means necessary.
And don't we also have to, again, have the discussion that people in America do not want to have? The justification that you speak of for all of these actions being engaged in, the fundamental justification is race.
That's exactly right.
Turn their heads because it's black folks or because it's brown folks. We have to have that discussion about race and racism.
That's exactly right. We had a conference on this entire topic. The topic of the conference last May was the topic of the book, From Lynch Mobs to the Killing State, Race and the Death Penalty in America. And we have to shed that light on this problem. And why is it important? Because too many of us think it's a Southern problem. The South was guilty in many respects for many of the lynchings. But it is a problem, as I just told you, in Illinois. It's a problem in Missouri. It's a problem in Ohio. It's a problem in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So it's not just a Southern problem. It's a national problem. And that's why we have to look at the way that race has been used as a metaphor for crime. And the color of your skin becomes the key feature in whether or not you'll be punished and whether or not you'll receive justice in the American criminal justice system.
How do we talk about race in this country, Professor? How do we begin the conversation, an honest conversation, about race and racism and its legacy in this country?
We can take the tragedy, and it is a tragedy, of the deaths of the 32 people who were killed in Virginia Tech, and the person who then took his own life, making it 33 victims, and see how the focus has been on one word, that he's Asian. Mm-hmm. What in the world does that have to do with whether or not a sick and deprived person, murdered over 30 people? But we that's a race conversation. If he had been white, would his race have been relevant?
Well, not only relevant, but the lead statement. It was like the only thing that said, he's Asian. He's Asian.
Right.
He's Asian.
That's exactly
he's
right.
Asian. They don't say, he's white. He's white. He's white. And what's the impact and ramification of that?
Right. If you look at what happened in Columbine, if you look at what happened in Paducah, Kentucky, the first thing we did is we should do to understand why these things happen and try to understand the person and try to figure out what kind of treatment and assessment needs to be done, not just to take their lives. And that's why we have to have this race conversation.
Professor, if I can just interject for a second. In the Columbine issue, it's worse than that, because the Columbine killers were every bit a part of a gang. They had
criminal records,
they dressed alike, and they engaged in criminal behavior. They were not called gang bangers. They were called, and I quote, disaffected CLIC members.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, what the, huh? Disaffected, you a gangbanger. And why weren't they called that? Because of the color of their skin.
That's right.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Professor Charles Ogletree, Charles Hamilton, Houston Institute for Race Injustice at Harvard, joining us from Boston. On his cell phone, on his way, and we appreciate the time that he's giving us this morning. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 from Rivers Parish through Bayless. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 from Teston Ferry through Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. It is slow. Westbound 55, 70 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through 79. That traffic is easing. Southbound 270 at 70 in Dorset. Look for traffic easing. Southbound 270 from 40 through Clayton Road. Look for an earlier vehicle fire at the Clayton Road overpass causing some delays, but now it seems to be easing up. Traffic lights are not working at Hall Street in Adelaide, so use caution and treat it as a four-way stop. And westbound 270 from Illinois Route 3 and the Chain Rocks Bridge, that traffic is still building at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 60s. This evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. Currently, we have 48 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
For my business, I want to bank with ideas.
For my business, I want to bank with solutions.
That business bank is Heartland Bank, with innovative products and services and a knowledgeable staff to provide solutions.
I want a business bank that listens.
I want a business bank that responds.
That's Heartland, offering personal one-on-one attention with the responsiveness today's business world demands. Heartland means business. So call Heartland Bank today at 314-512-8888 to start your new business banking relationship. Heartland Bank is FDIC insured, equal housing lender.
Real life on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking to, and this, of course, is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers, and we're talking to Professor Charles Ogletree. And, Jamala, you have a question for the professor.
Dr. Ogletree, whenever you have to leave, just let us know. But one of the questions I had about the book is that I know race plays a prominent part in the whole criminal justice system, in particular the death penalty system. But it just seems like there's some other engine that's driving this thing. I don't know whether it's revenge or the fact that now they you can't openly lynch people. I mean, it just seems like there's so much resistance to ending the death penalty in face of the overwhelming evidence that A, is not a deterrent, B, you know, many people get caught up in it that are innocent. I mean, there's so much that has, you know, debunked all the myths. Why is it so difficult to push this thing, even when the majority of citizens say that if they had the option for life without parole, that's what they would choose? Who is continue to push this thing?
You're exactly right. It's being pushed by folks who know that it's an emotional issue. It's an easy one to try to get people to line up politically, and particularly it plays on the worst aspects of racism when the interest in capital punishment is largely fueled by episodes where the accused is black and the victim is white. And so the sense is that there should be a special punishment. That goes back to the crimes of black men being punished for licking at white women. It goes back to Emmett Till in 1955 being lynched for whistling at a white woman. And so it's deeply rooted in the sense that black folks, as Dred Scott Decision said in 1857, have no rights which whites are bound to respect. And that's why the conversation is important, because we have two systems of justice, and the one that impacts people of color has no justice at all, and we have to make sure that we're both responding to and addressing those issues in a meaningful way.
But and Jamala, Professor, talked about this anger and this rage. I was reading another book on lynching on the courthouse lawn.
Yeah.
And one of the stories that was told in that book was the story of an innocent man of African descent who had been, you know, tried, and found guilty, and he was ready to be hung the next day. Well, that wasn't enough. There was a crowd that tried to break into the jail to lynch him before he was going to be hung.
And then the same thing happened in Tulsa, when a black man was falsely accused of assaulting a white woman, and a white lynch mob came down in 1921 to lynch him in the courthouse, which led to the Tulsa race riots in 1921. Same thing happened in so many other cases where people just make judgments about it. And the book you refer to is by a dear friend of mine, Professor Cheryl Lynn Ifill.
It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful.
You should absolutely have her on the show, because she's coming here. We're doing a conference on this very issue at Harvard Northeastern on April 27th and April 28th, Friday and Saturday, looking at the crimes of the civil rights era of people who lost their lives through racism, and trying to study these cases to let America see that there were two systems of justice, and we were affected and afflicted with one, and people were given passes for similar conduct when we were the victims and not the accused. And I think the idea of having this program and let the public know if there is a dual system of justice in America is critical and vital, and I hope with time permitting to have other opportunities to join you in the show as well.
And this whole thing, again, of this rage, doesn't that have to be part of this discussion about rage? Because it's a special rage to try to break into a prison to lynch somebody that's going to be hung the next day. That's a unique rage. I'm sorry?
That's the lynch mob. That whole idea that we don't value life and we want to take it into our own hands. When I say we, the people who are participating in these issues, and we have to speak out against it and to ensure that people aren't suspects, arrested, tried, and convicted through a system that gives no reasonable consideration of due process and equal justice under the law. We don't have that, and we're not getting that, and that therein lies the challenge.
And isn't also part of the challenge, Professor, the educational piece that has to take that has to go on when people have an understand or a belief that, oh, it was just in the South, that lynchings were just in the South, and Northern people didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? On the right-hand side.
Yes, you're right. You're exactly right. And I think part of the challenge that we have is trying to figure out how to make these things be handled in a more sensible way. And that has not happened yet.
And, Professor, do you have to go?
I do. They're pulling me into the parking lot and telling me to turn off my cell phone. But I do want to make sure we have more opportunities to talk about this going forward.
CharlesHamiltonHouston.org is the website.
That's exactly right.
Professor Charles Ogletree, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And have a safe trip.
All right. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
But you know what? The point about that rage, see, that's the piece that I think we haven't got our arms around yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because what, why can't you let the system take its?
What is it?
Yeah, what, do you have to feel that person's dying flesh on your hands? I mean, what is
Jamala, it? I will never get that out of my head. They were trying to break in to the jail cell to lynch a man who was going to be hung the next day. What is that? What is that special rage?
And it seems like it has to be more than just, okay, he's black. I mean, it's something there, and I mean, we need a psychiatrist to sort of break this down. But
I think that there
it is a special rage.
It's a special rage
that you really don't see in other contexts. And so I think it really bears some examination.
He was going to be hung the next morning. He was going to be hung the next morning, and they wanted to lynch him. And maybe it was because, again, in that book they talked about, well, the extra stuff that happens at a lynch mob. You can cut fingers off, and you can insert corkscrews in the places where the fingers used to be. And maybe that was just the added extras that they wanted to do at the lynching that you couldn't do at the hanging.
But still, that represents some kind of sadistic,
yeah,
you know, pathological
yes,
acts
does.
And the thinking behind
yes,
that. And often, Liz, when I look at the pictures of lynchings Professor Ogletree talked about the fact that the folks would be in church and then that afternoon
mm-hmm.
there'd be a lynching and people would come. And you could see the faces of people, including children. And
yes.
I often wonder, what memories do they have of that lynching as grown people? And what do you carry with you when you've seen that kind of...
Where does it go?
Yeah, where does it go?
It goes generation after generation after generation. I think it's a fair question to ask at some point. Does it at some point, after all of this exposure to rage and hate and fury and violence and crime, at some point does it just become imprinted in some way on your emotional DNA? Is that the legacy that you carry from that somewhere instinctively, that while you may not pick up a lynch rope, you may smile at the lynching,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
of what has been embedded and implanted in you generation after generation. The author in that book that I was talking about said it was so interesting that when you talk to people of African descent about those lynchings, they would tell you the stuff in detail. When you talk to the same white people in that same community, they didn't remember any of it. And when they did remember, they said it was always outsiders that came into the community and did it. Nobody ever within the community.
Those hundreds and hundreds that would be
captured
in the picture.
Thousands of people.
None of those were from the town, huh?
They had lynchings where there were 15,000 people that converged on I think the very first tours were the train tours of people coming from the north to see some of the lynchings. in the South. I think that was one of the very first travel agencies open up as a result of putting together that lynching package.
Well, and you know that they also did the postcards. They would take the pictures,
yes,
do the postcards, and thank goodness they did, because that is what we have to chronicle and visualize what had happened to many of our brothers and sisters. But I really do think it is a special rage, and I think that there is some degree of validity to that imprint piece that you're talking about. And I say that because oftentimes when you're in the voir dire and of a lot of these trials that I have attended, and there are white people who will say something like, I can't be fair because this person is black, and I remember another incident. So they're carrying with them
A special kind of rage, because that is completely illogical for someone to say, I remember something that a black person did to me and I can't forget that, because if logically that white person looked at all of the things that have been done to them negatively in their life, 99.9% of them were done by white people, and yet you do not hold that against white people. It's a special kind of rage.
And even though we don't have the mob physically, we have a mob mentality, because people, for example, with Kevin Johnson, I mean, there was a mob mentality. We're going to get him. There was a mob mentality around O.J. Simpson. And with these cases, Liz, you know, we don't know the circumstances, but we'll never get to know, because it's been tainted by the way that the police conducted themselves, the way that the prosecutor's office conducted themselves. And so, you know,
It's a special rage. I'm talking to Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. Please stay with us. We'll get back to your calls when we get back.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, no matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut, which is exactly what should have happened, should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Thank you.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And, Jamala, let's get to some of the callers here. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Yes, turn your radio down, please.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm sorry. I had two things I wanted to bring to your attention when the professor was on.
Mm-hmm.
During that riot they had in Oklahoma, black people were bombed by the Air Force in the same riot. I don't know if he didn't know or forgot. But during that same time, black people that was being barricaded themselves, the Air Force was used to go in and bomb them. This was the first time in history that the Air Force had been used. He didn't bring that point about.
I don't know if it was the Air Force, because I know that there were police. It was connected to the police department, but planes were used to drop bombs.
Mm-hmm. And actually, Professor Ogletree talked about that at his presentation a couple of days ago. And in fact, he is part of the legal team that's dealing with the reparations for the survivors of the Oklahoma, the Tulsa, Oklahoma tragedy. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll have plenty to talk about if we get him back.
Also, Liz?
Yes.
Are you still there?
Of course I am.
Okay, some white people, not all of them, they feel like they're privileged to do this, you know, and they turn a deaf ear to if they see other whites doing it, because they feel like, I guess, that if they take part in it, they'll be called, what's the word they used to use, I can't think of it right now, nigger lovers. You know, that's why I feel that the good ones turn their head to this, you know. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And thanks for that observation, Edward.
Okay, one more, Liz.
Sure.
You remember up in the northern states where this white guy killed his pregnant wife, and he got lost in a black neighborhood, and how the media and the police responded to that by rounding up every black person.
Well, no, he didn't get lost in the black neighborhood. He blamed it on a black guy,
okay.
And then they in Philadelphia, and then they went and they rounded up all kinds of black men.
Right.
He didn't get lost. He knew exactly what he was doing. He said, "I can get away with murdering my wife as long as I same thing as Susan Smith. She did the same thing, blame it on a black guy, and all you know, it's my get out of jail free card.
Thank you,
Edward." And I'd like to get back to the one thing that Edwards was raising the question about is that the people, the white folks that turn their heads on this, and what is the reason for that? And I don't have an answer for that, except to say that it's kind of like the ticket stealing thing. In terms of it going all the way to the top, the cover-up of this, people aren't really turning their heads. They are complicit in this in more ways than not. They're complicit in it when they allow statements to be made about people of color that they know are racist statements. They're complicit in it when they don't speak out when there are acts that are engaged in against people of color. They're complicit in it when they don't try to teach their children the real history of this country. They're complicit in it because, again, I think it goes back to this special kind of rage.
Yeah, and even when there's a discussion about reparations and mm-hmm. you hear white citizens say, well, that was then, my folks don't own slaves.
Or didn't own slaves. I just got to say this, because where do they go to? www.slaveowner.com. How you know that your ancestors didn't own slaves? Because I know good and well that you have not. 90% of the Americans that are saying, my ancestors didn't own slaves. Somebody did.
Somebody did.
And I know you don't know.
Somebody did, but that's not even the real issue. The real issue is that you have continued to be a beneficiary right. because of white skin privilege. And so even though
unearned.
You didn't lynch a single black person, you know, did you somehow get unfair advantage when there were two of you all coming to get a job with the same qualifications and merely because of the color of your skin?
As a result of all of the work of demonizing and attempting to remove people of African descent from the human existence, you get a benefit, because when you two show up for a job interview, there have been hundreds of years of groundwork laid that for the decision maker who's going to look like you, who do I pick? Well, hundreds of years worth of demonization says, pick the white guy.
Pick the white guy.
And not the white chick. Pick the white guy.
Exactly. So, you know, that argument really doesn't fly, but I think it's so embedded, in our society that it's very difficult for people to stand up. I mean, I'm saying white people to stand up and have that kind of conversation in their own communities. I mean, they have to have that kind of discussion that we have in a more open way about where does this rage come from? How are we going to purge our communities of that kind of, it really is the sort of almost inhumane, and certainly pathological, because where does it come from? If there's no rhyme or reason for it, why are you still continuing to support in many ways the kind of racism and repression that happens every day?
And you know what I would love to hear, Jamala? I would love to hear, because I don't know the answer to this. I cannot know the answer to this because I am not white. I would love to know when white people say that it makes me uncomfortable, that I am uncomfortable, or when they acknowledge that they are uncomfortable and that they're feeling this guilt. I would love to hear what this guilt is. I would love to hear an explanation of what is it that you feel guilty about. Honestly, what is it that makes you uncomfortable? I would love to know that, because I hear these stories about white guilt all the time, and in my African mind, I'm like, okay, explain to me this special guilt that says I can't, that makes me unable to talk about this. Because you're the same people that are saying my ancestors didn't own any slaves, and what do you feel guilty about? I want to hear that.
Yeah, that would be a focus of some real deep conversation.
It would. And let me get to some of the callers here. Dimitri.
Good morning, Liz, and good morning, Jamala.
Good morning, Dimitri.
In answer to your question, I'm white, and I have those guilt feelings, but I'll tell you this, that there are some of us who are doing something about it, and that we are actively involved in one way or another to try to straighten out this flawed judicial system. And my suggestion, I have a suggestion that would expose the dual standards that we have in this country for black people and for white people, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Okay. The first thing, I'm surprised no one has done it so far, is to publish side by side crimes, exactly similar crimes that have been done by white people and by black people. And the black person receives the death penalty and the white person gets passed. No one can step aside from that kind of evidence to expose the dual system we have for justice in this country.
Well, just speaking from the experience of doing that, of doing the compare and contrast, every day, every hour that I'm on the air, what I am told is that those are the exceptions and it is not a pattern. And my question always is, how many does it take to become a pattern? And therein lies the challenge. I remember writing a column for The American a number of years ago about a woman who threw her baby in a dumpster, and how there were 7 articles about the white woman who threw her baby in the dumpster. Chief Mokwa came out, and he was not the chief at that time, and he said she must have been hurting very much to have done something like this. Now, this is a white woman who had 6 of her kids taken away from her prior to throwing this baby in the dumpster. They sent 4 reporters to the hospital to cover the what happened to this white baby. They named this white baby. They called him Nicholas. They talked about his little heart beating in his little pink chest. Now, I represented a woman who also threw her baby in a dumpster. She was a woman of African descent. Christine Bertelsen, who is now the editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, went and found a black woman who said that the men who lay down with these black women who throw their babies away should be castrated and the baby should not be brought to term.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
It is not about the crime. It is about, and those are Chief Moqua went on to become the chief. Christine Bertelsen, who went and found a doctor to support genocide as a liberal white woman, she went and found a doctor to support genocide for a black woman, a black baby who threw her baby away, and she got promoted to be editor of the Post-Dispatch. And people would tell me, well, that's just the exception. That's not a pattern.
Well, Liz, we don't have to go very far. Here we are talking about justice for Reggie. When there was one white guy amongst the four defendants, everybody else got the death sentence.
Tell
and
it.
Daniel Winfrey was allowed to plead, and he will be out this year.
This year.
So we don't have to go very far to understand these examples of how there is a dual system of justice in this country.
It's just, is white America going to stand still and look at it and admit to the truth of it? It's done every day.
It's done every day. Every day, every hour.
Exactly. Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Same time, same place.
Next Thursday.
I'll be back with a discussion on the emancipation for the District of Columbia, for Washington, D.C. We're going to be talking about why does the government still control Washington, D.C., and why it should not. That's going to be my discussion in the next hour. Don't go nowhere.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who is
for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. He was so silent in life, but so vocal after his death. More on the shocking manifesto of the Virginia Tech University gunman coming up. But first, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is about to begin what could be the most important question and answer session of his political career. He's about to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee over the firings of eight federal prosecutors. New York Democrat Chuck Schumer.
The burden is on the Attorney General. Plain and simple.
But Gonzalez might not have much new to say.
His opening statement released in advance says nothing improper was done. But senators have questions. Was a U.S. attorney in California dumped because she was hot on the trail of corruption charges against Republicans in Congress? Was the U.S. attorney in New Mexico dumped because Republicans complained that he didn't move enough against Democrats in a tight campaign last fall?
ABC's Vic Ratner at the Capitol. The gunman in this week's Virginia Tech shooting says society forced him to commit his last deadly acts. Seung-hee Cho sent a rambling, profanity-laced letter and video to NBC. Former FBI profiler Brad Garrett says it leaves few unanswered questions.
Part of the video where he has a vest and he's pointing the guns, where he's clearly taking charge, which is something he's not done in his life, apparently. He's now taking charge. He's going to act, and he's going to tell us that he's about to act.
The video is all over the Internet, and that's a big mistake, says forensic psychiatrist Michael Wellner.
Stop showing this video now. Take it off the Internet. Let it be relegated to YouTube. This is a social catastrophe.
He says the video could push some people to act in a similar manner. Oklahoma City is marking the 12th anniversary of the bombing that killed 168 people by reaching out to victims of this week's Virginia Tech shootings. Mourners will also hear from former New York City mayor and presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani. Defense Secretary Gates is in Baghdad, an unannounced visit. He plans to tell the Iraqi government the U.S. commitment to a military buildup is not open-ended. This is ABC News.
A nationally known research laboratory is conducting a placebo-controlled study to determine if occasional friendly bumps to the forehead, accompanied by this sound, will remind you that you could have had a V8 100% vegetable juice. Subjects should be men.
Ow.
Sorry. Or women.
Hey!
So sorry. Between the ages of 40 and 65, who often fail to consume adequate vegetables and are predisposed to forgetting that V8 is a delicious way to get vegetable nutrition every day. All bumping to be conducted in a clinical setting by board-certified boppers.
I spy with my little eyes something red.
Is it the ketchup on the car cushion?
Nope.
Is it the dripping juice?
Nope.
Is it the drawing on the window I made with Mom's lipstick?
Yep.
Life happens in a blink. Now cleanup does too. Introducing the Blink family of car cleaning products that's always within easy reach. Clip to the door, on the back of a seat, wherever you need them for life's little messes. Blink. and it's done. Wild Wild Horses couldn't keep the Rolling Stones away from an upcoming concert in the former Soviet Union, but what's planned for some tame animals near the venue could. Here's ABC's Bob Schmidt.
The Rolling Stones have a concert coming up in Serbia. Trouble is, the only place in Belgrade big enough to accommodate the Stones and their fans is the local racetrack. 300 horses are stabled there, only a few feet from the stage. Plans are being made to get them stoned on tranquilizers for the Stones concert in July. Serb animal lovers are up in arms about it. They want the horses moved to another location during the concert. They're asking the Rolling Stones to make it happen if concert organizers won't cooperate. Bob Schmidt, ABC News.
Well, we pay more for dry cleaning, shoes, and now, ladies, a new study says we spend more on health care than men do. The report by the Commonwealth Fund says it's because we have more medical needs than men, don't like pregnancy-related care, and in many cases, women have lower incomes than men. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, recounts are expected in two Metro East mayoral races. Former East St. Louis City Manager Alvin Parks Jr. defeated incumbent Mayor Carl Officer by 33 votes. In Fairview Heights, the mayoral race is even closer between incumbent Gail Mitchell and former St. Clair County Board Chairman Vic Canty. Officials say more votes were found and it could change the outcome of the race. Creve Coeur police are investigating a threatening email sent to Whitfield School students just hours after the Virginia Tech shooting. The obscene message was sent to seventh graders, and its author threatened to kill and rape the students. The principal says she immediately contacted police and informed parents and students. Police say it is safe to attend school. The email reportedly came from a former student's computer account, but no one is sure if that person or someone else sent the email. Finally this hour, a Francis Howell North graduate pitched a no-hitter last night. Chicago White Sox pitcher Mark Burley faced the minimum 27 batters in a 6-0 victory over the Texas Rangers. Burley picked off the only hitter he walked in the process of throwing a nearly perfect game. It was the first no-hitter of the 2007 season and the first for the White Sox since 1991. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound Ladue at Mason and 141 is closed due to road construction, only to eastbound traffic at this hour. McCausland at Southwest, there's an accident reported both north and southbound. Kings Highway at 44, there's road construction. Right lane is closed in east direction. Eastbound 70 between Lake St. or at Lake St. Louis Boulevard, look for road construction. Right lane's closed. Westbound 44 is closed. Left lane at 109. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Oakland, look for roadway reduced to two lanes. Eastbound 40 between Oakland and Hampton, look for Tam Bridge demolition. They're starting to do some preliminary work, so road construction is reduced to two lanes. And Hall Street at Adelaide, look for traffic lights not working this hour, treated as a four-way stop. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, mostly sunny, high in the lower 60s. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in mid-40s. Friday, partly cloudy, high around 70. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 50. And then Saturday, partly cloudy skies, highs in the upper 70s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and 50 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting the same. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution.
It is time for us to use our power.
give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's a low major.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever considered it? Have you ever just rolled it around in your head? Why isn't Washington, D.C. a state? Why is Washington, D.C. under the control of Congress? There are citizens that live in the city, live in Washington, D.C. Tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of people that live in the city of Washington, D.C. Why doesn't the city control itself first? And then why isn't the city a state? We need to talk about that. We need to, you know, maybe there's an explanation for it. I live in America. I've lived here all my life. I've been of African descent my whole life. I think there is an explanation for it, and it's not a pretty one. And we need to talk about that. What is the definition of democracy, given how Washington, D.C., is dealt with? Do we need to redefine what democracy is? My guest this hour to talk about that, to help deconstruct democracy and then democracy for D.C. My guest is Sam Jordan. He's a charter member for Stand Up for Democracy D.C., and he's joining us from Washington, D.C. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
fine, and glad to get a chance to speak with you and your audience.
Well, it's good to have you here. Sam, do we need to redefine what democracy is given the treatment of Washington, D.C.? Would that help fix it if we just change what the definition of democracy is?
Well, it would help to know traditionally what has happened to the concept when it is applied to a jurisdiction like Washington, D.C. I think if we cut to the chase, as they say sometimes, Liz, that question needs to be asked. Why isn't the District of Columbia a state? And what has been the treatment historically of jurisdictions featuring a non-white majority in their population when they've sought an expansion of their congressional representation?
Well, do a history walk with us. Do a history tour. Let's start with some of those places. What has happened? Who are some of these places that have had majority populations, people of African descent, and their quest for statehood? Talk to us about that history.
Liz, let me give your audience just a few quick, brief historical markers about the District of Columbia. Then we can talk specifically about this issue of why the district is not a state, at least the way I see it, in this from the perspective of a rights by race rule. First of all, I think many people are surprised when they learn that the District of Columbia not only does not have all the powers of states, but its citizens are disenfranchised in every way. Judicial responsibilities, our budget, and our legislature all must be approved by Congress before we can get to even spend our own resources.
Say that again. Say that again.
All legislation, for example, passed by the D.C. Council must wait in Congress for at least 30 days for congressional approval before it can be enacted in Washington, D.C.
So some dude from Paducah, Texas, is making a decision on what happens to the lives of children in Washington, D.C.
Precisely. In fact, for Congress and for the Senate, we have what constitutes 535 people who are not elected by Washington, D.C. residents, yet nevertheless have more control over the judicial, budgetary, and political affairs of the district than our own mayor.
Wow. Wow. We're going to take a break, Sam, but we will be back. I'm talking to Sam Jordan, charter member for Stand Up Democracy DC, joining us from Washington DC. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
St. Louis, are you ready? Live concert is Fred Hammond.
Turn it out.
Yeah. With special guests Kenny Lattimore, Shantae Moore, and Jonathan Slocum. April 22nd at the St. Charles Family Arena. Tickets available at MetroTix or call 314-383-9278 for more information. By Midwest Entertainment, Midwest South Salon Spa, and Tribe of Judah Christian Church.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the Conspiracy Hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. Please don't forget that this show is archived daily at WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you've missed an hour, go get your hour at WhiteRoseSociety.org. We're also broadcast on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. That's from Xenia to Zimbabwe. You can catch the Wake Up Call live at WGNU.net or check it out at LizBrown.com. That's LizzyBrown.com. This hour I am talking to Sam Jordan. He's a charter member for Stand Up for Democracy DC and joining us from Washington, D.C. And Sam, you were talking about the astonishing way that the citizens of D.C. have to, the astonishing things they have to go through in order to get their own tax money and to have control over their own tax
exactly
money.
Exactly. What I was doing was setting just a bit of a foundation for people to understand how we got to this plight we're in today. First of all, it should be clearly understood, as I was developing before the break, that the District of Columbia is referenced in the Constitution as Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, that it is subjected to the exclusive legislative control of Congress, the 10-mile square that was set out to be the seat of government and was actually used as a capital first in 1800 by President Adams. Now, that decision, that reference in the Constitution, making the district 10 miles square or 100 square miles, demonstrates for us in the district clearly that the fate of the district can be settled by Congress. Congress has altered that 10-mile square by giving 38 square miles of it back to Virginia in 1846. That's why it looks the way it does now. We're left with the land that was contributed by Maryland. But that Virginia land was retroceded to Virginia when the Virginia congressional delegation, fearing that Washington, D.C. would become free territory, thereby losing their profitable port of Alexandria, which was the second most profitable slave port in the East Coast after Charleston, they would lose that source of revenue. So they went to Congress, appealed simply by request, and Virginia at the time was the largest single delegation in Congress, and they got their land back. So Congress can decide it. Congress can decide statehood for Washington, D.C. also. Statehood only requires a majority vote of both houses of Congress signed by the president, as any other bill becomes law. In fact, I want to make sure that people understand that before we talk about this race and majority population issue, because people say, well, D.C. needs to have a constitutional amendment in order to become a state. That's not true. If that were true, keep this in mind. There were 13 original colonies that formed the United States. Since then, 37 states have been added. So we have a total now of 50. Well, there are not 37 constitutional amendments for statehood in the Constitution. We only have, 26 amendments. But the point is, there are no amendments in the Constitution for statehood. Statehood is not the function of a constitutional amendment. It only requires a majority vote by both houses in Congress. Now we get to the question of why isn't D.C. a state if that's all it requires, a majority vote of both houses in Congress? And where we go from that is there is a culture in the district and in this country in which rights are decided, unfortunately, by race. And no one should be surprised. We speak of racial disparities all the time when we're speaking of housing, we're speaking of employment, when we're speaking of education, when we're speaking of health care. We all speak of, and it's not unusual to cite and document, racial disparities. Well, why would we be surprised to learn that there are also racial disparities in civil rights, civil liberties, civil authorities? And this is what happens here in the district. I want to give you two examples. Hawaii and Alaska and New Mexico. Only two jurisdictions that had non-white majorities upon application for statehood have become states. And that's Hawaii and New Mexico. It also happens that the longest wait between application for statehood and admission to statehood are also shared by Hawaii
and New Mexico.
56 years for Hawaii, 62 years for New Mexico. In 1959, Hawaii was admitted as a state. Although it applied in 1903, 56 years earlier, it was not admitted until after Alaska, which had not applied as soon or as early, was admitted. And here's why. Lyndon Baines Johnson, that is our own LBJ, was the chief opponent to statehood for Hawaii. He thought that with its non-white majority population, Asian and Native Hawaiian, became a state, it would send to Congress a delegation opposed to segregation.
Mm.
The only deal that LBJ would accept was if Alaska, with its white majority, that is, they didn't count the Aleuts and didn't count the Native Americans. They were disenfranchised, much like African Americans. Therefore, Hawaii had, at least nominally, a white majority.
How long did it take Alaska to become a state?
Alaska, only about 42 years.
Okay,
but it had been a territory purchased as part of, what's called Seward's Folly from the Russians. So it was in territorial status and could have become a state at the movement, in fact, discretionary authority of Congress. But Alaska had not waited, certainly, as long as Hawaii. But LBJ would only, that was the only deal LBJ would accept, that Hawaii would become a state after Alaska and be balanced, therefore. So Alaska became a state in January of 59 and Hawaii in August of 1959, so it was balanced. Well, with New Mexico, a slightly different scenario evolved. New Mexico was acquired by the United States after a war with Mexico, and the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo in 1848 set aside New Mexico territory, and it applied for statehood in 1850. But in 1876, to give you an idea of how people in this country viewed New Mexico, the Harper's Weekly, April 1st, 1876, described New Mexico as an ignorant foreign community, nine-tenths Mexicans, Indians, Greasers, and other non-English-speaking people.
What year was this?
1876.
They used the word Greasers.
Greasers. You know, you thought it was a modern term.
I certainly did.
Well, Greasers has been around.
I mean, modern for the 50s anyway.
And it's always been discriminatory in its use.
Wow.
And they said that a state or territory like this was certainly no match for the good people and Americans in the United States. So New Mexico, with its Mexicans, Indians, Greasers, and other non-English-speaking people, dominated by what was called the Roman Church, had to wait 62 years until the census of 1910 confirmed a white majority. Then in 1912, New Mexico became a state. Now, in that period, from 1850 to 1912, this country even invited white people from all over the world, including the United States, of course, to settle in New Mexico territory so it could achieve more rapidly a white majority. but it was only after it achieved a white majority, that is, the non-white majority was sabotaged, did it become a state. Balancing like Hawaii and Alaska and sabotaging the non-white majority are the only two methods that have been employed when a non-white majority jurisdiction has sought an expansion of its congressional representation.
Well, we see a form of that happening with the legislation that is being introduced with the congressional district enlargement. It was Utah white, D.C. black, even though that wasn't a good compromise for D.C., but you still see that LBJ thing.
You're absolutely right, and this is what we're trying to get as a coordinator of special projects for Stand Up for Democracy in D.C. And our website, by the way, is www.freedc.org. What we've been insisting is that this one vote for D.C. and one vote for Utah, and that's the scheme of this H.R., 1433, it's called the District of Columbia House Voting Rights Act of 2007.
It sounds good, is it?
It sounds always good.
But no child left behind. Sounds good.
Neutrality. But what it really is racial balancing again, just like Hawaii and Alaska. Nothing of value for the non-whites without something of equal or greater value for whites. And what happens with this is that the District of Columbia would get a vote in the House of Representatives. So would the state of Utah. Why Utah? Utah is not having a crisis in democracy. The District of Columbia has a crisis in democracy. Now, it's being said that, well, Utah was in line to get another seat in the House as a result of the apportionment from the census of 2000. Well, Utah went to court. There is a process by which states can challenge the apportionment of seats in the House of Representatives. They go to court, and the court decides it. Well, Utah went to court, and the court decided it. North Carolina got the last seat. So Utah, like every other state, simply waits until the next census, and it gets the seats properly apportioned. But this is a scheme having nothing to do with democracy in D.C., but having all to do with the fact that the 2008 elections might be close. So here's what the Republican Party, led by Tom Davis, in the Committee on Government Reform in Congress, has decided to do.
Okay, hold that thought, because we have to take a break.
Very good.
I'm talking to Sam Jordan, charter member for Stand Up Democracy D.C., joining us from Washington, D.C. You can find out more at freedc.org. My name is Liz Brown. This is, you know what it is, it's the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Are you ready? Live from concert is Fred Hammond.
Turn it out.
Yeah. With special guests Kenny Lattimore, Shante Moore, and Jonathan Sloan. April 22nd at the St. Charles Family Arena.
Yeah.
Tickets available at Metro Tickets. So call 314-383-9278 for more information. By Midwest Entertainment, Midwest South Salon Spa, and Tribe of Judah Christian Church.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Previously on the Sloan Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing. Thank you.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Blue like a butterfly. I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. A cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the sweat it, no, I got to get it. I'm the greatest man alive. Without no doubt, my name.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, my name, my name is Liz Brown. You need to get up and get to me, 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to Sam Jordan, charter member for Stand Up Democracy DC, and we're talking about Washington DC. Emancipation, actually, for Washington, D.C. Sam, you were talking about the legislation, the real reason for this piece of legislation, 1433, and the Republicans behind it. Talk to us about that.
Right, because we want to, you know, make sure that people clearly understand what this legislation does. It gives one vote, a voting seat in the House of Representatives to the District of Columbia, and a voting seat in the House of Representatives to the state of Utah. I was asking the question that everyone is asking, why Utah? Utah is a state already, has five congressional members in its delegation, two senators, three representatives in the House of Representatives, three congressmen, and it will be expanded to four seats in the House along with its two senators. Now, the District of Columbia will not get the same deal, although this is being promoted as an example of bipartisan neutrality and balancing. Well, here's what will happen. The district will get a weak vote in the House because it will not have a counterpart in the Senate. So it's a deal with the District of Columbia won't have the same strength as a deal with the state of Utah. Utah will get, therefore, an empowered vote in the House because it has a Senate counterpart.
An empowered vote in the House because it will have one more member as well.
One more member to its delegation in the House. And that member in the House can also say, when talking about legislative deals, well, I've talked to my senator about this, and we're prepared to go along with this decision as well. So the District of Columbia will not have that option and cannot guarantee that kind of assurance that it can help a piece of legislation.
Will the District of Columbia have control over its budget as a result of 1433?
No, it will not. That 1433 does not confer any greater autonomy locally. That is, no greater judicial, budgetary, or legislative control will go to the district. And you ask yourself, well, what's the point of democracy? The point of democracy is autonomy and control, but we won't get that with this bill.
So, and talk to us, Sam, about what that means for the average citizen. I live in the state of Missouri. I have two senators, and I have my congressperson, and we have all of the congresspeople that represent the state of Missouri. I have that connect to Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
Tell us what that means so the people that live in Washington, D.C. are unlike any other citizens anywhere in the on this continent. I mean, in this country.
I can give you two good examples. One is 2 years ago, Kay Bailey Hutchinson, who's a senator from Texas. She's done this twice now. She's a death penalty advocate. Washington, D.C. does not have the death penalty. She can insist, as did Senator Shelby from Alabama back in 1993, that Washington, D.C. adopt the death penalty. Even though
Wait a minute. White folks from, because this is a black majority city, white folks from the death penalty capital of the United States
right.
can now flex themselves and meddle in the issues of the city of Washington, D.C.
Exactly. And what they have done, in fact, Shelby from Alabama, not only Hutchinson from Texas, but they insisted that the district council propose and study a piece of legislation to reinstate the death penalty in Washington, D.C.
And they've got some teeth because, well, then you don't get your budget.
Exactly. And they will hold the district hostage. What they'll say is, we'll add this to the appropriations bill. And if you want the money for your budget, even though over 87% of the money in the district budget comes from locally generated taxes, we're not a basket case and totally dependent upon Congress. But any senator can use a district as a kind of crucible or a photo op or a demonstration project. Do things here they wouldn't dare do at home. But Kay Bailey Hutchinson insisted, and the District of Columbia Council had to consider a piece of legislation to reinstate the death penalty.
But they also can use it for, you know what? I mean, let's just be real. Let's just be honest about the legacy of racism in this country. If you want to go find a way to kick some black folks and feel good about that, you can go to Washington, D.C. Okay, you mad at black folks in the city, in your state. You can't get what you want. You can come to Washington, D.C. and kick them all day long.
I'll give you a good example of that. We have, for example, have always wanted the ability to decide for ourselves. A domestic, this is a slightly different population, but a domestic partner's law. That is, if you weren't married, this is not just same sex, but if you weren't married and had registered someone as your domestic partner, that person would be able to benefit from your pension plan or your
health care
plan and so on. Well, that should be the prerogative of the local jurisdiction. Now, even though our council has passed domestic partners legislation three times in the last 10 years, it's always been vetoed by Congress.
Well, and it can't, Sam, can't also, in a twisted, calculated effort to continue the legacy of racism, can't the Congress, the House and the Senate, continue to starve and stall issues in Washington, D.C. to make Washington, D.C. represent the worst of the worst, and then use that as a proof of why you need to do this?
Exactly. Here's a very good example. It seems that around the country, many people have the notion, they have followed D.C. politics or news at all, they have the notion that the district is a basket case.
Right.
Like African Americans, we're a basket case.
Like Africa. Like Africa is a basket case.
Africa. Our legacy is that of just being basket cases. Even though we've built this place free of charge and haven't been repaid, everyone thinks that we're a basket case and dependent upon charity. Well, Washington, D.C. is the only jurisdiction in the country that doesn't have a reciprocal tax for commuters.
What does that mean?
That is, there are 40 jurisdictions in the country. Let's talk about, say, New York and New Jersey, where people are crossing back and forth along that border, say New Jersey and Pennsylvania, out of into Philadelphia, for example, or New Jersey into New York, working every day. They're commuters. They go back and forth every day. So they're working in one place, in one state, they're living in another. Well, two-thirds of the workforce in Washington, D.C. don't live in Washington, D.C. They live in Virginia and Maryland. Now, the rule in the country and the law is that income is taxed where it is earned. In other words, those Maryland and Virginia residents
wow.
who work in Washington, D.C.,
they're taxed.
Have their income taxed in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. is the only jurisdiction in the country that may not tax income earned in Washington, D.C.
So that, wow.
So that's 478,000 people every day
wow.
coming to Washington to work, swelling our workforce.
Using your roads, using your streets, using your electricity.
And we pay for that.
Wow.
And they don't pay us a dime.
Wow.
Now, what we've asked for is not a commuter tax that seems to frighten people off. What we've asked for is a simple reciprocal tax. And that's what jurisdictions like, say, Camden and Philadelphia, Camden, New Jersey and Philadelphia might have, or New York and New Canaan, Connecticut might have. What they have is New York will assess a reciprocal tax or fee on those Connecticut workers, Connecticut residents who work in New York. Now, when that's assessed, Connecticut or New Jersey will credit that commuter's tax bill so that as far as the commuter is concerned, it's revenue neutral. Whatever they owe and whatever is collected by New York where they are working is credited against their tax bill in their home state. That would happen here in Washington, D.C. if Washington could tax the Virginians and Marylanders, for the most part, who work here. That would then be credited against their Virginia and Maryland tax bill in their home state. Well, the Washington, D.C. is the only jurisdiction in the country that may not do that. Now, what it costs?
What is the money on that?
What it costs us, and this is, if we even had a 2% tax, not the full income tax rate, if we even had 2%, we would be collecting another $1.9 billion a year.
Wow.
Okay, now,
wow.
We don't have a deficit. Right now, we have a surplus in our budget. And that surplus, by the way, is 87% collected from local taxes, not from Congress. Now, if we were to have a budget deficit and of, say, $1 billion, for whatever reason, emergencies, unexpected events, we could have paid for it even with a 2% reciprocal tax. And still have a surplus of $900,000.
Okay,
or $900 million. The $1.9 billion is lost every year because we don't have a reciprocal tax.
And we're going to come back. Sam Jordan, charter member for Stand Up Democracy DC. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
St. Louis, are you ready? Live concert, Fred Hammond.
Yeah.
With special guests, Kenny Lattimore, Shante Moore, and Jonathan Slocum. April 22nd at the St. Charles Family Arena. Tickets available at Metro Tix or call 314-383-9378 for more information. Presented by Midwest Entertainment, Midwest South Ron Fox, and Tribe of Judah Christian Church.
Hello, I'm Minister Glenn Rogers, host of Radio UFO, Uncommon Facts and Observations. On my show, I've had some wonderful guests, like Dennis Balthaser, the coordinator of the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident, Felix Clairvoyant, a priest with the Raelian Movement, an organization that believes that mankind was made from a higher civilization of mankind, and William Bill Burns, editor of UFO Magazine. Tune in for more Radio UFO every Tuesday and Saturday, 9 to 11 p.m. on AM 920. WGNU.
Tune in every Thursday at noon to 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown, and I am talking this hour to Sam Jordan, charter member for Stand Up Democracy DC, joining us from Washington DC. So, Sam.
Yes.
What can be done? What's the plan? What's
well, let me give you just before we go to what can be done, because there's a lot your listeners can do, and I know we have a little time left. I want to tell you, but the insult that's added to the injury of this H.R. 1433, the so-called D.C. Voting Rights Act.
Okay, I don't know if I can take any more, but go ahead.
Well, okay, here it is. What it gives not only is another seat to the state of Utah, but Utah gets an additional vote in the Electoral College.
Ah.
That's the key. It gets an additional vote in the Electoral College in the presidential election of 2008.
And it would take place in time for the presidential race of 2008. What does that do for the Republican Party?
Well, here's what it does. Utah happens to be, you know, I'm saying happens with quotes, the whitest in percentage of its Caucasian population and the reddest state in the percentage of voters who supported George Bush.
Something like 98% voting for Bush.
The whitest, reddest state in the union will now get an additional Electoral College vote in the 2008 presidential election, rather than now having to wait for the 2010 census to get an additional seat through apportionment process. It will get it through this bill. The District of Columbia will not get an additional seat or an additional vote in the Electoral College. So there you see, there is no balance in this at all. The district gets a weak seat, a weak vote in the House, and Utah not only gets an additional full and empowered vote in the House, but a new full vote in the Electoral College at a time when every vote in the Electoral College in the 2008 presidential election may be very important. And one vote could be decisive.
Well, that sounds like a deal killer on both sides of the aisle.
You would think it is, but you see, Tom Davis, the Republican from Virginia, who is the chief sponsor of this bill, along with our delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, he's been able to get this bill to a vote in committee, where it was passed 29-4. Now, on the floor of the House, different story. But you see, it's being opposed. The president has already promised a veto. Republicans in the Senate have promised perhaps some kind of foot drag and maybe even a filibuster, because it's not very popular there. They still don't want D.C. to get any kind of representation.
Even though the Republican Party and white folks get extra stuff.
Right, even though they get extra stuff. One reason is because they think it might open the floodgate, so to speak, for Congress, perhaps even a Democratic-controlled Congress, to confer a vote in the House on a lot of different kinds of jurisdictions. For example, it's fear that if the democratically controlled House can do that for Washington, D.C., which is not a state, it could also do it, say, for some huge federal enclave with a lot of U.S. citizens living abroad, even.
Puerto Rico?
Right, Puerto Rico. In fact, there was a statehood push for Puerto Rico, and there was also a U.N. plebiscite for Puerto Rico. The choices were statehood, independence, or Commonwealth status, the status quo. Puerto Rico has 4 million people. But you see, all U.S. jurisdictions that have white majorities are states. All the U.S. territories, D.C., Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, they all have non-white majorities and are not states and have no realistic possibilities of getting full congressional representation. D.C. is larger than Wyoming.
Mm.
Size is not the issue. Numbers in the population is not the issue. It's relatively the same size as North Dakota, South Dakota, Delaware.
Mm.
Okay, in fact, about 15 years ago, D.C. was actually had a population larger than that of six states.
Mm.
Now, Puerto Rico, though, has 4 million people. What's the reason Puerto Rico is not a state? Puerto Rico is not a state for the same reason Hawaii and New Mexico had problems becoming a state. It has a non-white majority.
And the non-possibility of whitening it up.
No possibility whatsoever. So it's not going to be on the short list for statehood anytime soon because of that. And so what we're asking to
before you go, I just have to say that Eleanor Holmes Norton must have the most challenging job in America.
You know.
Or thankless job.
It could, but she's supporting this one vote for D.C., one vote for Utah. It makes her finally a congresswoman. Now, she's not raising this issue about the Electoral College when they promote this bill. When she and Tom Davis go on the stump to talk about the virtues of H.R. 1433, they never say that Utah gets an extra Electoral College vote and that the bill doesn't confer any additional local autonomy on the District of Columbia whatsoever. Congress still remains in control of all our budget, our legislation, and our judicial matters. So it's kind of questionable how she sees herself historically with this bill. Now, they're saying that they're taking the incremental approach, one slight step here and one slight step there. Well, the point we're trying to make is, why can't we put directly on the burner, on the table, for full national, local, regional, whatever, international discourse, this question of race and rights by race? Why can't Washington, D.C., even though it has a non-white majority, about 60% African-American, why is it not getting the same kind of treatment as any other jurisdiction where people pay federal taxes?
And that's city or state? Because, I mean, okay, people that can't get to the state piece of it, it's treated differently than any other city in the United States.
Absolutely. And you see, we pay federal taxes. And we don't have equal political status or legal status with all other people who pay federal taxes.
What's that phrase? Taxation without representation.
Right. It should be no taxation without representation. But we have that taxation, and we don't have representation. Now, one answer would be, well, then drop the taxes. Exempt D.C. from all federal taxes. Well, the people of the District of Columbia don't want to go in that direction. The people of the District of Columbia decided in 1980 to vote for and supported a referendum for statehood for Washington, D.C. And we wanted to follow the Tennessee plan. That is, 31 states have sent delegations to Congress to lobby for statehood for their states ever since Tennessee was admitted. And that's the path that residents of the district have chosen, to go for statehood, full congressional representation. So your audience members can call their Congress member and insist that there be a real reasoned discussion about this H.R. 1433. And instead of this piecemeal, we want full congressional representation. The District of Columbia needs to be treated fairly and equally as any other jurisdiction where the citizens pay federal taxes. That means two senators and a representative. It means local autonomy. And the Congress is in control of that with a majority vote and does not require a constitutional amendment.
Well, and is there a bill out there that they can say I'm in support of?
Well, now, Eleanor Holmes Norton has promoted and has submitted a bill in the past, and she's withdrawn it, for statehood for D.C. In fact, in 1993...
She withdrew it?
Has withdrawn it. I'm not sure why, but in 1993, there was a full vote in the House on statehood for the district. And that vote was historic in that it answered all the questions, all the objections, and refuted them about why the district cannot be a state. It refuted the notion that we needed a constitutional amendment. Okay, that bill should go back to a democratically controlled Congress again. Well, you see, we have problems with Democrats and Republicans. No one can really seem to get over this. I give this vote and full representation to a jurisdiction with a non-white majority. The country is simply not used to that idea and is not trying to get used to it. Hawaii and New Mexico were the reasons, were the examples I gave to show you what can be done. There's no one to balance D.C. with, so that Alaska option is out. So the only option left for us is a New Mexico option, where we sabotage the numerical majority. So we expect that the composition of the D.C. Population, as it changes, and it is changing, it's becoming more or less and less an African-American majority, its chances for representation in Congress are also growing at the same time.
What's that website again, Sam?
3DC.org.
Sam Jordan, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Liz, thank you very much for letting me speak with you and your audience.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
I'll be back, same time, same place, tomorrow. Until then, thanks for listening and stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us,